talked about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Can we have everyone's attention, please? This will only take a moment, and it will not be repeated.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hello, this is Swing. I'm so happy you are listening to my latest album. All my albums are very nice, but I believe this is one of the best. Listen to this album anytime you want. Put it in your stereo system when you have a safe party, or listen by yourself with your favorite pack. I hope my singing and rapping gives you great happiness, relaxation, and peace.
And now,
stop smoking crack!
Our feature presentation.
Let go! Let go! Let go!
They play last night?
We got one.
Oh, congratulations. I hadn't heard.
We got one win.
Woo!
Well done.
It was Detroit, but...
1-3? That's where you want to be.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. It's funny how everybody that wants to make it sound worse, they are including all of the preseason, so they're like, oh, we're 0-11 or 0-8
or
whatever.
Those don't count. Yeah, no. That's not.
We won.
Hey, speaking of wing, now that Halloween is beyond us,
yes.
Past us, we are this close to Santa on a helicopter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that song.
That song is painful.
And fruitcake.
Fruitcake.
We're this close to fruitcake. Yeah.
This is the holiday, people.
Welcome in, party people. It's a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, you don't know this because you've been here for less than a minute.
Yeah.
But we were off the air until 45 seconds ago.
No kidding.
We are. This is the first time people have heard anything in a couple of hours, pretty much.
How come?
Just.
Was it Muggs?
I think it was probably Muggs. He wasn't here when it started, but it was probably him. Yeah.
Huh.
So I just want to welcome everybody back to K Rock. We're alive.
Is this working?
We're on.
Okay.
I was thinking I'm going home.
Yeah.
We're not on the air. Anyway, it is Monday. We got a huge show planned for you today. But let me start with something that I think you're going to like very much, and this is going to blow your mind, Kevin. This is going to be tough for you to get your tiny little head around.
All right.
Because
I don't have a tiny little head. First of all, but go ahead.
Outside, you don't.
Yeah, right.
Inside,
okay.
You do.
Right.
You must hate Chad Kroeger from Nickelback like a lot, right?
I do. Yeah.
There's no way you'll ever say anything nice about him. You're one of those guys who, when you have your mind made up that somebody is a dick, well, they're just a dick, and they're irredeemable.
It's not that I don't know that he's a dick. It's just his lyrics are so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives me crazy.
And he's the guy in Nickelback.
Yeah, he's the lead singer in Nickelback.
So I'm going to give you a story that's going to confuse you.
All right.
Because this is, you know, he's a child molester, but he hands out good candy. You know, it's that sort of. What do you do with that? You can't just. It's not 100% yay or nay on this guy. So Chad Kroeger may now be your favorite person.
Mm.
Speaking to Men's Health magazine. He told the story of how he once paid a crew member £235, which, depending on when this happened, would be how much, probably? Say $400?
$400, yeah.
To put his penis in a fan.
All right.
We've always been very close to our crew, he said, so we've had a lot of fun getting them to do silly, stupid things that could possibly cause them to hurt or injure themselves in some way. We were in Germany years ago. This is one of my favorite stories, and we were just bored. There was a heat wave going on. In the back room in the venue where we were playing, there was an old fan with a metal blade.
Metal?
And we paid the drum tech $400 to stick his penis into the fan.
In what, in what state?
Oh, it doesn't say, but I can't imagine it could be anything but the softest possible state if you're heading near a fan, right? So what do you do with Chad Kroeger from Nickelback now? Now you have to have some respect for him, right?
Now I like him and hate his music.
He took the money. I can still hear the blep, blep, blep of the blade slowly sputtering to a stop and the blood-curdling scream.
Oh.
It was fantastic.
So worth it.
Somebody had video footage of this somewhere that needs to be resurrected and shown at the guy's next birthday party.
That would be awesome.
This is a pretty good idea, and we do have Beer Mug working
here.
That's
true.
I'm just saying. I think it's time for Beer Mug Recreates the Stunts.
I like it.
Nope.
How about that?
I like it. That's pretty strong.
Look, we've done call-in topics many times over the years with, you know, what did you pay your friend to do in a bet? or what did you take money to do? Would, is there any amount of money that you put your penis in a metal fan?
I'm going to go with no.
$400, though.
How drunk are you?
How drunk are you?
Yeah, well,
and how funny does it sound? It,
everything sounds funny when you're drunk. But wiener fan, not a mixture.
Do you get sober when it comes to wiener?
So anyway, point for the guy in Nickelback, I guess.
All right.
For a change.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Go now before I lose interest.
We are going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about the NFL weekend. We, yes.
Dave just couldn't be more over the moon about his 8-0 Falcons.
8-0 Falcons.
I know, right?
That's just, those words can't go together.
Like, who saw this coming?
Zero people. Jason Mewes will be on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We also are going to talk to people who made the mistake of telling friends and family who they're voting for.
Uh-oh.
That can go terribly wrong.
That's a way to say goodbye to your friends and your family.
Dr. Moe's going to be on the program today.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. He's going to be telling us about kidney surgery, which Bean will be going through.
A week from tomorrow, you guys.
Wow.
It's getting close now. Wow. It's happening.
You know, I was thinking about this over the weekend. Is it possible that Bean was just playing, like, strip poker and just ran out of clothes? And so then they had to just pick pick an organ?
Like I'm paying off a
debt? Yeah. You lost a bet. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com.
I was on Harvey's show on Friday.
Oh, were you?
That was super fun.
How was it? Yeah, good.
It was fun, yeah. That's that TMZ live show that they do. I was on with them. So, yeah, it's nice.
So you are now on equal footing with Honey Boo Boo.
Congratulations. Apparently so, yes.
We're going to announce Miss Double December and tell you how to enter.
If it's, I had a bell beer mug, I would be hitting it right
it's
now.
It's that time of year.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
And we still have more tickets for breakfast with Mumford & Sons. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman.
Do we have a delay or not? Because I want to know right now.
We do.
I'm going to drop some F-bombs.
We do,
right
but
now.
We'd rather not use
I don't
it.
Think
Let's
it's necessary.
It
no, I don't think.
No.
Close.
No. Having some technical problems here, but I think the 7-second delay is working.
Funky chicken.
Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend?
Hey. It's good. Good. Big sold out show Saturday night up at the Lovitz. Thanks to everybody who came out. Yeah. Had a good time. And
that's a big room to sell out.
It's about 250.
Yeah.
We seem to be selling on a pretty regular basis,
that's
which
impressive.
Is nice. And then Sunday was just relaxing with the family, watching a lot of football.
Is the show that you do Saturday night up there, is it the type of thing that Ralph and Kevin Smith fans all fill up the room? Or is it the type of thing that's a tourist thing where somebody's down at Universal, they go, hey, I've heard of those guys. Let's go see that. Do you have some new people from out of town?
We have walk-ups. We have a considerable number of walk-ups.
Pretty cool.
Mostly are pre-sold. Folks who are fans of this show or fans of Kevin Smith are now, after 2 years of doing Babylon, fans who are just who never knew either of us until the show took off. We're always in the top 20 in iTunes and stuff, so people listen, and it's been strong.
I wonder what the reaction is for people who have no idea what they're going to get when they walk. They bet, I've heard of this guy. I'll go buy a ticket.
there seems to be some shocked looks on the faces of some people. There's a large amount of inappropriate comedy that goes on there.
I always wondered if anyone storms out.
We've never seen anyone walk out. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Yeah. I mean, that's a big room, and you can't keep your eye on everybody. But I would assume there was somebody who was
offended
by some rusty wagon wheel joke we made or something, and they thought it was inappropriate. So
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but does Lisa have one?
Oh, she sure does.
Okay. Yeah.
She celebrates it once a year for a week.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 5:52. It is Monday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
And because it is Monday, let's talk about movies. We take a look at the box office every Monday morning from the weekend. And Wreck-It Ralph, huge opening weekend. $49 million
wow.
for the animated comedy. Made it number one this weekend by a long shot. The closest film to that was Flight. In its debut, made $25 million, about half of as much. Argo was third. Then The Man with the Iron Fist, in its debut, made $8.2 million for that.
That's not
RZA
enough.
Kung Fu movie. Taken 2 was fifth. Then Cloud Atlas, Hotel Transylvania 3D, Paranormal Activity 4, Here Comes the Boom. Really, people? You're still going to see that? And Silent Hill Revelation 3D. So those are your movies for the box office this weekend. While we're talking about movies, how about giving away some tickets? I'm giving away a lot of tickets to a lot of movies lately. It's
good
fun.
Ones, too.
It's my favorite part of my show.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is a big deal because I know you will be able to hear the squeals all over Southern California from here in the studio once we announce it. I've got a pair of passes, one single pair of passes, to the premiere of the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. It's happening down there Monday, November the 12th at LA Live. I believe they're already lining up.
They are.
If I'm not mistaken.
Now, when you say the premiere, that means
the premiere.
Whore and Stupid will be there, right?
Whore and Stupid will be
wow.
there. All the dogs are going to be there.
Great.
All the bats, all the spider people.
Yeah,
I have
never
no idea
seen this
what
movie.
Any of these films, but
I'm team spider people.
I know people care.
Really, I was team antelope in the Twilight.
It's in theaters on Friday, November the 16th. You will see it almost a whole week previous to that. But, of course, as we mentioned, you will get to see it with Sparkly and Pouty and all the other dwarves that are in this show.
If you're not familiar with the Twilight series,
and I'm not.
I have a recap.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm a vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl. I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl. Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she? Nope. The end.
There you go. The end, I guess, is what we'll be seeing in Breaking Dawn Part 2. Let's see. I only have one pair. Let me give it away to caller number 2, who... right now at 1-800-520-1067, caller number 2, because Kristen Stewart had 2 boyfriends at one time.
Yes.
At the same
okay.
time. So we'll give
still
them
may, for all we know.
Tickets for that. Go come and get them, twitards. Leonardo DiCaprio, speaking of relationships, has left yet another broken-hearted supermodel in his wake. He has parted ways with Erin Heatherton of the Victoria's Secret
Yeah.
stable of hotties.
He just churns through them like it's a buffet.
He really does. Just turn them and burn them. They remain friends, and the split is amicable, and they'll always be close, they
Aww.
Say. Isn't that great?
That's how it works with celebs.
They always seem to
So is Gerard Butler going to date her now?
I think he's learned his lesson. He's already got in trouble with Leo for dating one of his exes. This Erin Heatherton, by the way, nothing wrong with her. Don't get me wrong. But maybe it's just the company she keeps. But if you look at her, and then you look at the rest of the Victoria's Secret models, you're like... okay.
Oh, really?
I mean, in the world of Victoria's Secret models.
Wow.
Which is considerable.
Right.
She is, she's bringing up the rear.
She's only,
is that right?
She's
yeah.
only a 9?
Yeah, she's only a 9. I mean, that's what it's all comparative, but. Come on, Leo. Step up your game, is what I'm saying. Bam Margera and his wife are now officially divorced. You know how I know? Because his wife, Missy, tweeted on Friday, official divorced, happy, finally free. Who wants to come to my divorce party? All right, easy, okay? Wow, what a bitch.
Look, being married to Bam.
Whatever.
Yeah. No picnic.
Okay,
right?
So be happy that it's over. But you don't have to go tweeting to people.
She knew he was Bam before she married him.
Yeah, though. That's true, too. Ooh, ah, great party. Woo! Hate him. Gunshots. Stop it. Be nice, people who break up with each other. And congratulations to the folks who put together that telethon over on NBC Friday night to raise some money for the victims of Superstorm Sandy. $23 million for Red Cross
right.
was raised. The one-hour broadcast featured John Bon Jovi, Springsteen, Billy Joel, Steven Tyler, Mary J. Blige, Tina Fey, John Stewart, Whoopi Goldberg, Jimmy Fallon, Danny DeVito, and many, many others. But Red Cross could still use your help, so you can go over to redcross.org if you want to donate, or you can text Red Cross to 90999, and that's a quick $10 to Red Cross, and they could sure use it. So.
Did you see that Fox was complaining? Where were the conservative stars on the
yes,
telethon?
Yeah. It was a telethon for Obama. That's what it was.
Yeah. What? Oh,
Fox News God. Says
Why
the 1 hour.
Bruce Springsteen there and Bon Jovi and Jon Stewart and all those other people from New Jersey.
They're all Obama supporters. It was just a big commercial for Obama. That's all it was.
Can't
they don't care about raising
over.
Money.
By the way, Kevin, there's an excellent chance we won't know even tomorrow night who the president is.
All right.
That's how close this race could be.
I hope it goes on for a week.
It could be.
Where was Toby Keith and Kelsey Grammer?
Right.
Yeah. Obama commercial. Come on, Fox News.
It was awesome.
They're fair and balanced, Rob.
By the way, Toby Keith, that's not how you want to get people to donate.
No.
Right?
No,
it really isn't. And more political correctness, this time in the world of music, no doubt, has had to pull its music video.
Mine.
The clip for the song Looking Hot had a Cowboys and Indians theme, complete right. with native headdresses and teepees and smoke signals. Well, the Native Americans, no like them video.
It is a little surprising in,
so?
In 2012 that somebody would make a Cowboys and Indians video just expecting there would be protests over that.
Well, it was supposed to be sort of a retro kitschy look at what Cowboys and Indian movies used to be like.
Right.
That was the gist of it, but the Native American community apparently did not see the humor in it, and they went nuts, and now the band has decided to take the video off the internet.
But listen to this song. I mean, when you're this is your song, how do you do anything other than
this
a Cowboys?
This
is the No Doubt song
hot.
That they
this
were
is,
doing,
this
right?
This is not the No Doubt song.
No Doubt posted on their website, our intention with our new video is never to offend, hurt, or trivialize Native American people, their culture, or their history. Though we consulted with Native American friends and Native American studies experts at the University of California, we realize now we have offended people. So they have pulled the video. They gave us the video, then they took it away. Does that make them Indian givers?
It does.
Does it? That's what I thought. Yeah.
It does, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays are probably
in the other room.
Not here with me. Oh, no, they are. Take a look at who was born on this November the 5th. Art Garfunkel of the legendary musical group Simon and 71 years old today. Kris Jenner, momager Kris Jenner.
Yes.
Is 57. You see her posing with her Halloween costume this year as Wonder Woman?
No.
With her nipples poking out of the top of the costume?
Oh,
no.
Yuck.
So she tweeted that picture because she's hot and sexy and young, just like her daughters.
She's 57.
Yeah.
Grow
up. Robert Patrick of the X-Files and also Terminator, 54 years old today. Bryan Adams is 53. Tilda Swinton celebrates her 52nd birthday. How would you ever know how old Tilda Swinton is?
No kidding.
She's an alien. There's no way to judge her on our human standards.
He doesn't look like all the other guys.
Stop it. Tatum O'Neill's 49. Famke Jensen from GoldenEye and the X-Men movies is 48. That's a spectacular 48 right there. Judy Reyes from Scrubs, very funny lady. She is 45. Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite actors, celebrates his 43rd birthday today. Johnny Greenwood, keyboardist and guitarist for Radiohead, is 41. And Kevin Jonas, K-Jo of the Jonas Brothers. Is he the one married to the girl with the ski slope nose?
I think so.
He is.
He's the one who has the reality show, yeah, right? I think so.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
They really are. I got into a fight with all of them once. Just used my left, but seriously, they were scrappy. He is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 6.
That song's not annoying at all, by the way. I just like to
song.
Say, if you were thinking that, it's not. You're wrong. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in minutes, and you're less than 1 hour away from your tickets for Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. That's a super secret VIP breakfast, big band, tiny room. Kevin and Bean, that's us. We ask the questions along with you, and we all get to enjoy some live banjo music. That's coming up just after 7 o'clock.
And by the way, if you win tickets to the Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, a part of the deal here is that you show up with questions.
Right.
Occasionally, we'll go through the crowd that shows up and we'll get questions, and they're just, we go, have you ever heard of the band? You know, it's just ridiculous. So be ready to help us out with the interview. That's part of the fun of it.
Because frankly, we're not that good at interviewing bands. So we need some big fans in there with questions we don't have.
I'm not a big fan of movie critics. I don't really care that much because they tend to hate all movies I love.
And you tend to see everything that's crappy.
Correct, yeah. But this new review is really odd for the James Bond movie Skyfall. It comes to us from the Pope.
What?
The Pope.
The Pope is not exactly the target demo for a James Bond movie. Isn't he in his 80s?
I think he even saw movies.
He does not. Like Harry Potter or the Da Vinci Code, but the Vatican is partial to James Bond, having dedicated 5 articles to it in their newspaper.
Okay, now
the
hold
Vatican
on a second.
Newspaper.
Hold on a second. Is he thinking of the James Bond, the 007, the franchise with Daniel Craig? Because he does nothing but bang chicks he's not
right?
married to and kill people.
Right?
How is that something that's approved by the Vatican?
He's great. He says it's great. He loves it. The Pope is in. For Skyfall.
Thank God.
We wanted to find out how this could possibly be, so now we take you live to Vatican City, where I believe we have Pope Benedict on the line with us right now. Hi, Your Holiness. How are you?
Benedict. Pope Benedict.
Yes.
Guten Tag, Captain Bean. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you.
I am so glad and happy to hear from you.
Well, yeah. It's been a while since we talked to you, but when we saw this article, we just were just confused. I just don't even understand how this movie could be something you could ever endorse.
Oh, Skyfall is the best movie ever. Oh, I loved it so much. I love James Bond.
Uh-huh.
And the way he has sex with everyone he's not married to, and he kills people.
Yeah, that was our question. It seems
same
like...
thing as the history of the Catholic Church.
Well,
but shouldn't you be pointing to movies that are more spiritual, that feature, feature characters that love Christ and live by His way? Hey, who's laughing in the background there, Pope?
That's Bishop Omar.
Oh, I see.
There will never be a Bishop Omar.
There's a Bishop. Shaboma is right here.
Was he on vacation last week? Because I'm glad he's back.
I am too. This whole bit would not be working if he wasn't here.
So what about that, though? These aren't the kinds of characters.
The movie with the Christ way? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. That's exactly. That's what he asked.
This movie is very Christ-like.
How?
The James Bond. It's nothing like Christ.
Okay.
But it's awesome. Because there's a Bernice Melor, the Bond girl in this movie.
Beautiful, super yes.
Hot. I'll tell you, that is very spiritual when you see her on the screen.
Yes.
Because you go, oh, God.
Well, that seems inappropriate from you, Pope.
No, it's not. I appreciate all of God's fine works, and she is amazing.
She is, yeah.
What
true.
About all of the drinking? What about all of the violence?
Hey.
Yes, yes, Hope.
You know, Hope.
Hope.
Yes, yes, Hope. What's happening right now?
We're the people who serve wine at every mass, okay?
Right.
So we got no problems with drinking here in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So let's cross that one off the list.
All right.
That's fine.
Violence?
Violence, look! Hey, ever heard of a little something called the Crusade?
Yes.
Ever knows?
Yeah.
We killed everybody.
Okay.
But it was in God's name. And that's what happens with James Bond. He kills people, but he's doing it for the right purpose.
I see.
To keep evil dictators for taking over the whole world.
Okay,
also the Catholic Church's job.
Why is the Vatican endorsing movies at all? How is that even in your purview?
Because we have a lot of time on our hands.
Do you?
Yeah. We don't have sex with nobody.
Right.
We spend a lot of time praying.
Sure.
And we got a lot of time on our hands. So the Vatican 8, the Cineplex here in Vatican City.
Oh, I didn't know there was a Cineplex.
Oh, yeah. Oh. We're always very happy when a new film comes to town.
Okay. I see. All right.
And so we all rush down there. And it's good because most of the lot of the monks have taken a vow of silence.
Oh, sweet.
So you never hear that thing, people screaming at the screen, which is nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, no, don't you go in there, snap. You never hear any of that stuff.
Well, we don't get the James Bond movie Skyfall until Friday. I understand it's already opened up in a lot of the world.
Yeah,
but
we've already seen it here in Rome.
We're looking forward to it.
And the Cineplex is also great here because instead of popcorn, we serve a big bucket of communion wafers.
Is that right?
That sounds
with
delicious.
Butter on them. They're delicious.
Sounds great.
It is great. It's the Christ way.
All right, Your Holiness. Well, thank you. We're glad to get your endorsement for this movie.
No, go see Skyfall. You'll love it. I swear to God.
Okay.
And
are you supposed to swear to God?
Yeah, sure. He's a buddy of mine.
Okay. Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 6 o'clock.
That, by the way, is Dynamite Hack. Is the name of that band, in case you're wondering, because you were thinking about that. You were going, I'm going to call Kevin and Bean and find out. Dynamite Hack Boys in the Hood here on K-Rock. It's Monday morning. How about our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? Harvey, welcome, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good.
I want to thank you so much for the time you gave me on TMZ Live on Friday. It was super fun.
Oh, you were awesome, I got to say.
Really fun being on with you and Charles. That's a great show, man. It was really cool of you to give me some time. I really appreciate it.
No, I mean, what you're doing is just, it's really amazing.
People stopped me over the weekend, and they were like, this isn't real, right?
This is a big bit.
It's just another bit, right? It's just another joke.
Yeah, this is a bit.
And I said, yeah, it's a bit.
I know that you're a lawyer and not a doctor.
Well, the only thing is that if you polled people, they would probably say, yeah, he did lose a kidney, but it was in Vegas, and they found him in a bucket of ice.
And he's trying to play it off after
partying all night.
He's trying to play it off being a good guy.
I know that you're a lawyer, Harvey, and not a doctor, but maybe you can help me out with this. Kevin's trying to convince me I should give the other one away, too. Should I do that? Is that a good idea or no?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good move.
It doubles the good, right?
Yeah, you'd make headlines.
Right.
All right, let's talk about what's up on TMZ. Here's a story we didn't have time for last week, but it's blowing my mind that Joe Simpson, the father of Ashley and Jessica Simpson, at this stage in his life, he's what, 40 or 50 or something like that, may be coming out as gay. You don't see that very often.
Well, that's what there are a lot of reports saying it. So here's the deal. I can tell you, as of late last week, now you've seen the pictures, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, yes.
This is the most shocking outfit since Chris Brown went on Larry King, if you remember. You know, with the yellow sweater and the hair that just totally matches, right?
It really is the non-vocal way of shouting to the world,
out, right?
I'm gay, yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. He is not only swearing to people, but he's pissed off.
He's mad?
He's telling people, I'm not. And now, I don't know, just so you know, I'm not vouching for whether he is or isn't. That's not that's not our job.
Right.
But he is. He has been privately telling people he's dealing with friends and people he works with that that this is ridiculous, that he's not.
Okay, now, where did the stories come from that he was hooking up with this male, this much younger male model, though?
Yeah, no, no. I mean, look, I mean, I've seen the stories. I'm not saying that they're true or not true. I'm just saying he's telling people now. On our website, they don't believe him.
Yeah.
84% of the people are saying, Joe.
Here's what we were talking about last week, Harvey, and I'd love your thoughts on this. First of all, nobody cares whether you're gay or not. It's not a crime. It's not something to be to hide. It's something to be embarrassed about. If he's gay, he's gay. I wish nothing but success.
The only problem is if you don't have a TV show, you just can't do it during sweeps.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
But here's what we were talking about last week. When the rumors started floating up that maybe he was coming out late in life, as does happen occasionally, we all kind of breathed a sigh of relief because that creepy ick factor that we all felt when he used to always in interviews talk about how great his daughter's boobs were, all of a sudden it's not creepy anymore. He's just another gay guy going, oh, her body is fabulous. And now it's not creepy because it's not a heterosexual father-daughter thing anymore.
Well, that's still creepy.
It is. But I agree.
Less creepy
just though, isn't
by
it, Harvey?
5%. You don't want to talk about your daughter's boobs.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Look, I would make the argument to you it's more creepy.
Wow. Okay, you're going the other way.
Why is that?
No, I'll tell you why. Because if it's true that he is, then to use her as kind of the cover is really weird.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I don't know. Again, I don't know. I mean,
no one knows except for him, but wow.
And his boyfriend.
It is. This outfit, I mean, and, you know, I'm looking at it right now. That tennis shoes match the sweater.
Yeah.
Harvey is outraged by this outfit.
Well, he's trying to send a message.
All right, let's move on to Khloe Kardashian, who you have been very vocal. In fact, on Friday's TMZ Live, when I was on with you, you were talking about what a disaster it's been for her and maybe not her fault at the X Factor so far, right?
Well, I think they've made a huge mistake on this show. They've given her a teleprompter.
Right.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, using a teleprompter takes years to master. And she has never done it before. So she's a total deer in the headlights. I mean, when you watch, if you watch and you know she's using a prompter, you see her eyes going back and forth.
Right.
So basically you take this chick who's got this really good personality and you rob her of the personality. And she's become this machine trying to follow along in the teleprompter. And it's ridiculous. They should just, like, give her a couple of bullet points and just say, talk.
Right.
And that's why they hired her. And I got to tell you, I think they're ruining her. And they got to stop this teleprompter.
They're not ruining her. Let's be honest.
She could do this job.
I'm not saying she couldn't.
She could do this job.
Isn't this the way TV works, though? Don't they say, we love everything about you, and we want you to be you?
And we're just going to change everything.
Right. Yeah, and then when you get on the show, read this.
See, that's why it works for me, because I'm so old, I don't really care about my next job. When they tell me to do something, I just say, screw you.
All right, let me ask you one more thing on this, because you have a good relationship with Simon Cowell. The X Factor ratings are worse than last year, right? They're nowhere near where they wanted to be. Now they're at the live show. Now they've hired the high-profile host. Is this program in trouble, Harvey?
Well, I mean, you know, it's still doing okay, but it's like when you have to look at how much money a show costs and then what the ratings are. And, you know, if the show is done on a shoestring and you get a rating less than X Factor, you could be doing fine. You could be making money. They are spending so much money on the show. I mean, God knows how much Simon makes.
Right.
And Brittany is making $15 million. Demi Lovato is making $4 million.
Right.
You know, Chloe and Mario Lopez, I'm not sure why they went with two co-hosts, which, you know, it's like, wait a minute, guys, it's a singing competition. Why do you need two co-hosts?
Yeah,
yeah. Someone's always going to be Dunkelman if you put two up there. You're absolutely right.
And you know, that's what I was thinking, is one of them is Dunkelman, but they both could end up being Dunkelman.
Right.
You know, and they're spending so much money on the show that I don't know what it costs to even break even. And that's something that nobody's talking about, but they're just pouring money into these television shows. I mean, Mariah Carey's making $18 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep, you're right.
Really, really. Can we get back to Joe Simpson's
story? Sure.
Because I'm looking at it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, I'm just looking at it, and it's like, You know, look, here's the thing. What you know, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm really conflicted on this, because there are stories out there, and then he's saying he's not, and I guess people should just kind of leave it alone. But it's just, it's such a mystery that he's gone through this just radical change.
Has anyone talked to his wife, his ex-wife?
No, I mean, nobody's really talking. Hmm. I mean, nobody's really talking. And, you know, there are like a million stories out there and a million rumors. But you're right, you know what? Here's the deal. It's like, it doesn't matter
anymore.
But
that's why it's sort of fascinating that he would reinforce everything with his clothing and his hair and everything else, and then say something that's the opposite. That's the only thing.
Make up your mind, one way or the other.
That's the only thing that makes it a story, because it doesn't make any sense.
When I talk to these people, and I wasn't even fishing for the story, I was just talking to them about something else, and all of a sudden they said, no, he's saying, and then I started calling somebody else, and they said, yeah, I mean, he's saying it's not so. Maybe it's not so. Maybe he's, you know what, this could be, guys. I mean, this could be the midlife crisis with the Porsche and the whole thing.
Yeah. Shoes don't match the sweater when that happens.
They're from the deep south, they may not know.
All right. We are out of time. Check your local listings for the old school TMZ show, and TMZ Live airs weekday afternoons at 4 on Fox, TMZ.com. Harvey, thanks so much for the time.
We enjoyed it.
Bye-bye. With Mumford & Sons, we got your tickets to join us for that super secret event. Plus, you'll see him at the Hollywood Bowl. That's coming up in a few minutes. Also, Joanna, Miss Double December 2012, is going to be joining us as we kick off the running for Miss Double December 2013. Hey, I'm off tomorrow. You guys know.
Yep. Yes.
So good news for everybody. I'm at the hospital. It's their last attempt to try to talk me out of donating a kidney. It's one of the things they have to do within 2 weeks, is go through all of the paperwork again and make sure you're not getting paid and you're not doing it for the wrong reason.
Oh, being so getting paid. And they're doing black market with this one.
They're doing the test to make sure you're healthy enough. And then next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, is when I donate a kidney to a coworker here at KROQ. And I have to tell you, it's been unbelievably humbling and inspiring to hear from listeners who have been moved by this and have gone out and signed up to be on the donor registry in the event of their death. And listen to this, Kevin. Three different listeners, maybe we want to talk to them, have contacted me that they are signing up to be living kidney donors.
Wow.
And they don't know anybody who needs a kidney.
Wow.
They're just going into a hospital and they're saying, hey.
Yeah, then I'll do it too. I mean,
they're going into a hospital and they're saying, hey, take my kidney and give it to somebody who needs it.
It's unbelievable.
Is that incredible?
Yeah, without knowing who it is.
I mean, what if you give it to some dick? That would be my fear. At least I know my guy's worth it. What if some loser gets it? Anyway, I know Kevin only cares.
Your guy is getting the dick kidney.
I know Kevin only cares that something might go wrong, so we've reached out to our friend Dr. Mo. He is the chief of surgery at the Little Company of Mary's in San Pedro, and he joins us on the phone on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hey, Dr. Mo.
Good morning, guys.
Always great to talk to you, sir. I called you over the summer to tell you that I was in the pipeline to try to be a kidney donor, and you said, hey, this is right in my wheelhouse. I deal with stuff like this all the time, right?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
Well, the three hats that I wear, I'm a general surgeon, a trauma surgeon, and a vascular surgeon. And from one side, as a trauma surgeon, we do get patients that are so severely head injured that they're declared what we call brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
And
like beer mug.
Come on!
Okay.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, they're brain dead, but their organs are fine. And these are the people that make... that usually contribute the most of what we call the cadaveric or the, you know, dead mm-hmm. organ donors.
Right.
Okay. And there's a lot of unbelievably wonderful programs around that will just come down to the hospital, talk with the families, get everything organized, and then this team of specialists will descend upon the hospital. And once the family agrees and they have this plan where they go in and take what they can get as cleanly and quickly and as efficiently as they can, and then get it to the people that need it.
So they take...
Which is the Russian underground mafia.
Yeah.
So they take hearts, what else? Kidneys, livers, lungs?
They take the eyes and the sclera of the eyes, the outer covering. They can take skin for burn victims, heart, lung, pieces of liver intact. They can do kidneys. They're trying to do pancreas and intestine transplants in other parts of the country. That's really experimental. They can harvest bone. They can do all sorts of stuff.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Mo, because one of the reasons that I went on the air with this, and Scott, who's going to be my recipient, is a very private person. As most of the people who work here at KROQ didn't even know how sick he had been through the years, because he just doesn't talk about it. So he's agreed to go public with this, and for the same reason I have, is that we're trying to raise awareness for organ donation largely after people's death, exactly the type of circumstances you're talking with. What happens when you're in the operating room and your patient dies or is brain dead and he still has harvestable organs,
How do you know whether they have signed up to say, yeah, take my stuff?
Well, the part that the public usually knows about is you put the little sticker on your driver's license.
Right.
Sign some papers. And that's all well and good. The problem is let's say you do that and you're gone and your family comes in, they can change your mind.
Oh, really?
Well, that's weird.
You have to prepare for that ahead of time. There's a lot of hoops you have to jump through that I wish we could simplify ahead of the time, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are willing to do this, and there's too many hoops to get this done the right way.
What are the reasons that the family members give for, look, your guy or gal is already dead. Why wouldn't they want to help somebody else who's still alive?
That's an excellent question. I mean, I don't see that why. There's religious reasons. There's reasons where they're uncomfortable. It gets down to some people are afraid that the body will look bad in a casket.
Really?
There's a lot, and there's some deeply personal reasons. Let's say that you really want to donate organs, but your wife or your mother or your father have completely different opinions about it. They're allowed to supersede that.
Wow.
Well, how do you get around that? What do you do?
There are legal things, and but you really have to. It's not just the checkbox on the driver's license. There's things like advance directives, living wills, and other legal stuff that you kind of have. It's kind of a bit more of a hassle. You can do it.
All right, Dr. Mo, let's change the topic just for a minute to what could go wrong with Bean. I pulled up a list of complications from kidney surgery.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that.
And the number one item is mortality.
Yeah.
How likely am I to die on the table as a kidney donor, doctor?
Hardly at all.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Kevin.
I mean, that's too bad.
Look, it's a relatively simple surgery on my end, right?
Well, compared to Scott's, yeah.
Okay.
Well, see, here's the thing. The kidney is hooked to your body by three pipes, an artery, a vein, and the ureter. The artery is where the blood comes in, the veins is where the blood goes out, and the ureter is what takes the filtered off urine with all the stuff you don't need and dumps it into your bladder so you can pee it out. You have one on each side.
Right.
So all you do, and it sounds, it's not this simple, but all you do is you go in, you find the two tubes and clip them, then you trace the other tube down to the bladder, clip it, and then peel the thing out.
All right, but hypertension, hemorrhage, renal artery thrombosis, stenosis of the renal artery aneurysm. There's a lot of things that could go wrong, though, right?
The number of things that can go wrong is very long. The chance that it happens is very small.
Come on. That's what I want to hear.
I'm trying to scare him. Help me.
And by the way, part of the reason I am able to be a kidney donor is because I am in really good health, which I think would even further reduce the chances of those things happening, right?
Well, if you've gotten to be a certain age and nothing's really screwed up yet, then the chance that you'll develop it is lower, and that, you know, your other kidney will be okay.
Right.
What you don't want to do is, say, take out the kidney of a 20-year-old who maybe has a family history, who may be a little overweight, who may be a smoker or something, and who has a chance of developing a problem where they may need that reserve. They may need those kidneys later. So
right.
That's sort of the idea.
Gotcha. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, Dr. Mo. I have so many more questions, but I guess I'll save those for my own doctors tomorrow. But hopefully you and I will stay in touch. You've been very encouraging through this process. I want you to know off the air that I really appreciate your counsel on this. And I'm just at this point, I just want it to be over. I'm just looking forward to it being over, you know?
You are going to do spectacular, Bean.
Thanks, Dr. Mo. You're the best, man.
Dr. Mo, you're not helping. That's a bummer. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Speaking of our breakfast with Mumford & Sons, which is fast approaching, and we'll also give away some tickets to go see him at the Sold Out Hollywood Bowl Show, why don't we open up the phones right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you have Mumford & Sons trivia. Now, last week, you were able to stump Rodney Bingenheimer. Turns out he didn't know as much about Mumford as we thought he did.
What a shocker.
But this week, Steve Jones is going to be joining us from Sunday night's Jonesy's Jukebox, the legendary DJ Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols.
Right.
He apparently knows everything there is to know about Mumford & Sons.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to stump
you
him.
You can't beat
everything
him.
About everything.
He knows everything about
musical
everything.
Musical encyclopedia.
Yeah, he's a genius. So if you've got a Mumford trivia question, we'll give you a chance to stump Jonesy at 1-800-520-1067 coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Monday.
You can ask Jonesy, too.
Huh?
Just saying, if it's called Ask Jonesy.
Oh, or you can ask. It doesn't have to be stumped.
I'm sure Omar's in the room saying, that's not what I set up the intro to be.
Gotta start coming to the meetings.
Poor bastard. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look in the Showbiz Beat at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. As expected, Wreck-It Ralph, the animated comedy, was number one, although no one expected how much money it would make this weekend. Over $49 million.
Is this an existing franchise, a book or
no.
a video game or anything like that?
No.
This is all brand new.
It's an original story
wow.
based on a fictional 8-bit video game character that leaves his game because he doesn't want to be the villain anymore. He wants to be a good guy. And through the wires, he escapes and starts visiting other video games. And those video games are established favorites from the past, like Q-Bert and other games like that. And so there's a lot of nostalgia factor in this, but it's also apparently very well written and acted and entertaining as well.
Would you give the credit for the huge success to the fact that Ralph is in the
I'm
title?
I'm just saying to Hollywood, if you include a Ralph in your project,
wow.
if you look at Ted, this year's huge hit that is now the number one R-rated comedy in history.
Mm-hmm.
Which had me in it. And you look at the title Wreck-It Ralph, which I think a lot of people went expecting me to be in it.
Of course. Obviously.
You're going to get a nice payback on your investment,
sure.
producers of Hollywood. I'm just saying. Number two at the box office was Flight, new Denzel Washington drama, $25 million. Argo was third. Then The Man with the Iron Fists, the RZA Kung Fu movie. $8.2 million, made it number four. Did you see it, Kevin? I know you were very much looking forward to it.
I didn't have time, but I sure am still planning on it.
You are a busy, busy man. You got a lot going on.
I do.
You've got stuff to do.
I'm a busy guy.
There's those things that you do.
The Galaxy playoff last night.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
And Galaxy, once again, just to refresh my memory, is a...
Soccer.
Professional soccer.
Who won?
That's not important.
Are they eliminated now?
No.
They're still in the
playoffs. Legs. You have to play each team twice.
Did anyone score?
Yes.
There was a score in a soccer game.
Unfortunately, yes.
I'm surprised that didn't get bigger coverage.
At about the,
the news would have picked up on
it was,
that.
It was ugly.
Taken 2 was 5th, Cloud Atlas 6th, Hotel Transylvania 3D, Paranormal Activity came in at number 8, then Here Comes the Boom and Silent Hill Revelation 3D. That's your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Tadoff Switler in the news again this week.
What's going on with Taylor?
Tadoff Switler, for those of you who don't know, is the real name of Taylor Swift.
How dare you.
Proof that Satan's presence on the planet is being felt. She is the daughter of Satan. She's a succubus that will not only
that's correct.
Pretend to be what she isn't, all sweet and innocent, and then become pure evil right under your nose.
Is she stabbing kittens again? What's she up to?
No, now she's just a thief. Now she's just a thief. Where she's stealing lyrics from other singer-songwriters' songs for her
this
own.
This is new. All right.
Actually, it isn't. She's been a thief for a long time.
Oh,
she's,
okay.
She's stolen money, children, jewelry. she's an evil, evil woman. But in this case, this stealing comes from a performer that she claims to be a fan of.
Okay.
He's a singer-songwriter named Matt Nathanson.
Oh, I know him. He's good.
She loves him so much, she has often been seen scrawling lyrics from his songs down her arm before she goes out on stage for her own shows.
What?
As inspiration. She will write on her forearm lyrics from his songs. She's such a huge fan.
It's inspiration, or she doesn't want to forget them when she sings
them? Maybe she's stolen them, and she doesn't want to forget them. Now she apparently has stolen a line from a song called I Saw that Nathanson recorded in 2003.
Okay.
She put it in her new song, All Too Well, of her new album, Red. Nathanson's line from his song is, "And I'll forget you long enough to forget why I need to," is the lyric. Here is it from his song.
And I'll forget about you long enough to forget why I need to.
All right.
Clever lyric, well written.
Sure.
Well placed in his song.
Uh-huh.
Would be hard to accidentally write that line, I think. And I'll forget about you long enough to forget why I need to.
Yeah, impossible.
It's pretty clever and pretty intricately worded, I would think.
Yeah.
Here's the line from All Too Well from Taylor Swift.
And I'll forget about you long enough to forget why I need it to.
How about that?
Oh, and I forget about you long enough to forget why I needed to.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That was super blatant.
That is a blatant thievery right there. Matt Nathanson did tweet in response to people saying, well, she ripped you off. And he said, she's definitely a fan. And now she's a thief.
Whoa!
That's what he tweeted.
Really? Whoa.
Yes.
Well, it is verbatim.
What about accidentally writing the same lyric? Nathanson responded, writing lyrics is like pooping a Buick.
Huh?
You don't forget when you write a lyric like that. And it's pretty hard to do. And if she did that, she would know that she wrote that too, which I thought was appropriate.
How does he know what the Buick thing is like?
Well, you know, we've all had those mornings. Whoa! That was a Buick!
Now, what, couldn't it have been a Mini Cooper?
How does that happen?
She's a thief.
Yeah.
This is not the first time she's been accused of thievery.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Let's take a quick listen to a line of hers from the song, The Way I Loved You.
Okay.
He is sensible and so incredible. Single friends are jealous.
Does that bring to mind anything, that particular song? Is that reminiscent of anything?
What should that sound like?
What's this maybe?
Chill out, what's she yelling for? Lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you would see.
Yeah, fans of Avril Lavigne said she stole the same melody from Complicated for her song The Way I Loved You.
How about that?
So, evil whore thief.
Wow. Agreed.
And if there's any justice in the world, she'll get the death penalty.
I hear you.
I don't think that's how they settle copyright claims.
I believe that's fair.
I think she should. Or she should have to give up both kidneys.
And her heart.
And heart and a lung to someone who needs it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. I get them all mixed up.
Sure.
They're all the same person to me. He's 25 years old today. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead is 41. Sam Rockwell. One of those great actors who just has never become a big star. Maybe it's for the better because he just is great in everything he does. You see Seven Psychopaths?
Didn't.
Boy, is he terrific.
Trying to see that one.
He's 43 years old today. Judy Reyes from Scrubs is 45. Famke Jensen from the X-Men movies. And, of course, she was also Xena Onatopp in GoldenEye, the James Bond movie.
Sure.
She was a good time in the sack, that one. She would crush you with her legs, but, but other than that, she was a good time.
It's a good
time.
Way to go.
She's 48 years old. Tatum O'Neill, 49. Tilda Swinton is 52. Bryan Adams turns 53 years old today. Robert Patrick from The X-Files. And also
Kevin's doppelganger.
That's right. Very similar.
I wish.
54 years old. Kris Jenner, the momager of the Kardashians, turns 57. And legendary singer Art Garfunkel of Simon and Garfunkel and a successful solo career. 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We're looking for you, Miss Double December 2013. We'll tell you all about it in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Steve Jones. Jonesy's Jukebox here on K-Rock Sunday nights. Jonesy joins us in studio.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
How are you, Steve? Good morning.
I'm good. How are you fellas doing?
Doing fine. You're going to help us give some tickets away to the Breakfast with Mumford and Sons today.
You guys are going to be talking to Mumford and Sons.
That's right, yeah.
And those guys are, you know, they play a lot of music.
I think we've covered that.
They're very fond of banjos.
We're on a little tighter schedule than you are on your show, if you could pick it up the pace maybe a little bit.
You know a lot about them?
No, of course I do.
Okay.
I know a lot of all kinds of music.
Okay.
Mumford and Sons.
Okay.
We're
going to get back to you on this question.
It sounds like a moving company.
It does.
Like all you right. would hire them to come to your house, right?
Right. 1-800.
With a large van.
520-1060.
Trailer of some kind.
This is called Ask Jonesy.
You can ask Jonesy whatever it is, he'll tell you right now. You gotta ask Jonesy if you want the tickets. You gotta ask now. Can you dig it? Cause you are gonna ask. Ask Jonesy.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you ask me, and I will tell you the answer.
Okay.
All right,
that's the way the game works.
We're going to take some calls here. They're going to have
there are some games where I will give the answer.
Right, okay. We got it.
This one, though, we just want to go right to the calls, Jonesy, if you don't mind.
A la Jeopardy.
All right. Let's start with
the way that game works.
Thank you. Let's start with Tammy. Do you mind if we take a call, Steve, real quick?
They would ask me.
Okay. Tammy is on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's going to ask Jonesy.
Will you stop talking for 1 second?
Tammy, good morning. You have a question for Jonesy.
No, no. I don't talk at all. I don't have to bloody put up with you. I was in the Sex Pistols.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
What's your question for Steve Jones?
Yeah, what's your question?
Where was Marcus Mumford born?
Sioux City, Iowa.
Is it Sioux City, Iowa?
Sioux City, Iowa.
Incorrect.
Okay, what is it?
He was born in Anaheim, California, down the street.
There you go.
Down the street from whom?
County.
Maybe down the street from you. I'm not even near Anaheim, California.
Right, well, but she's saying
I may be closer
local,
in fact,
all right.
to Sioux City, Iowa. Right.
Tammy,
I
you are in the drawing. You
Anaheim,
might be winning
California.
Breakfast with Mumford and Sons and tickets to see him at the Bowl.
You're fair to assume you know where I am.
Let's try Jesse. Jesse's on line two to Jesse. Ask Jonesy.
Hi, Jesse.
Good morning, party people.
Ask Jonesy.
Jesse.
In 2010, Mumford and Sons were nominated for 2 Grammy Awards. What were they for?
They were for Best Band. banjo record.
I don't think that's a category.
So, best R&B single by a female.
What are you talking
those
about?
Are not good guesses.
How's that even possible?
Because they're that talented.
Jesse, what were the categories they were nominated in?
Best new artist and best rock song.
Oh, right. You might have known that, Jonesy. But thank you, Jesse. You're in the drawing. We appreciate that.
Oh, those are the big ones, sure.
Let's
but what about the other ones they were nominated?
They weren't nominated. There were only those two.
Are you an expert on the Grammys? Because I am,
yes.
I don't remember you doing the voiceover this year. They didn't ask you back.
No, they did not.
Let's go to Anna on line 7. She's got an interesting personal trivia question about Mumford & Sons. Hi, Anna. You're on with the great Jonesy from Jonesy's Jukebox.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah,
hi.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to know, what is Ben allergic to?
Ben is allergic to apricots.
is it apricots?
No, unfortunately.
What is it?
It's peanuts.
All right.
Have you ever seen him eat an apricot?
No.
Yeah, that's because he's allergic.
Okay, but that's not. She knows for a fact.
Does she
that
know
it's a
everything
peanut?
In his medical history.
But do you know anything in his medical history?
Have you done an in-depth medical history?
I'm just going to
Ben.
Anna has. I believe
you're the Surgeon General.
I believe her. All right, Anna, you're
Hold
in the drawing.
I don't
Hold
think
on,
I
thank
like
you.
Anna. I like her know-it-all attitude.
All right, let's go to Tiffany on line 8. By the way,
I stand by apricots.
Heavy percentage of callers are the ladies today.
That's correct
for the dreamy Marcus Mumford and his sons. All right, Tiff, you're on with Steve Jones.
Oh, hi, Steve Jones. So my question is, what actress is Marcus Mumford married to?
Well, he's married to an actress.
Yes. I was. Hence her question.
That would put me at a loss then if I didn't even know he was married
to. This one's pretty well known.
Pretty well known.
Pretty basic trivia. Very famous actress.
Famous actress, let me think. Roseanne Barr.
Is it Roseanne Barr, Tiffany?
No, it's Carey Mulligan.
Who?
From Drive?
Carey
Mulligan. Not ringing a bell. He should marry someone more famous.
Hold on.
All right.
Roseanne Barr is more famous than she is.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's
but
married
you said
to
famous.
Her.
Stop giving me improper clues to my answers, and I won't get them so wrong.
Let's do one more. The easiest question on the board is on line 4. I think this is Maydell. Is that possibly a name? Is it Maydell or Maydell?
Oh, my God, that's you. Hi, it's Maydell.
Maydell. All right.
Maydell. That's not even a name.
You're on with Jonesy.
All right, Maydell, what's your question?
What's the lead singer's name?
What's the lead singer's
Sid
name?
Vicious.
Oh.
Sid Vicious. Sid Vicious.
I think the Mumford & Sons is what we're focusing
on. Well, you didn't say what band. You said what's the name of the lead singer.
It's all about Mumford & Sons. Mumford.
I didn't know it was all the same.
This isn't a Sex Pistols game. This is a Mumford game.
Someone asked me, what's the name of the lead singer?
Right.
Right.
Johnny Rotten.
Johnny Rotten, right.
Who's the lead singer of Mumford & Sons?
Well, she did not phrase it that way, did she?
Oh, God's
sake.
So
now I'm supposed to be a mind reader on top of answering all your stupid questions.
Maydell, is it Sid Vicious?
Just keep talking while we're trying to answer your question.
Okay.
She's got her radio up.
Radio up. She's got a needle in her arm. She's got all kinds of things going on.
I don't think there was a needle.
She doesn't have a needle in
her arm. Tammy, Emily, Maydell, it looks like Anna and Tiffany, all in the drawing. Lisa May, only one can win. Breakfast with Mumford & Sons and tickets to the
ball. Why can only one win?
Because we only have one pair to give away here.
I bet you don't. I bet you have more than one pair.
And the winner is Tammy.
Tammy. All right, first person we talked to. Tammy, congratulations.
Oh, my God.
I enjoy your objectivities very much.
You're going to see your boys, yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I bet you have more tickets to give away.
We do, but not right now.
Why are you being so stingy?
Jonesy, we got to go. Thank you.
Give everyone tickets.
Thank you.
I'm not talking about Christmas, but I am talking about the most wonderful time of the year. Hit it, Steve.
Where is it?
Steve?
Where's Steve?
Hey, Steve. We're over here.
Steve's got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Double December 2013 already. We are off and running.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Big ones.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Whatever that word could be that was beeped.
And before we roll out the details on how you can be Miss Double December 2013, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Joanna, Miss Double D 2012, is on the phone with us. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, good morning.
One of our favorites, I think.
Well, yes. Joanna, we're going to miss you. I know it sounds like we say this every year, but we fall so deeply in love with you throughout the year, and then we have to say goodbye to you. And then, of course, we can never even take your calls again after you're not Miss Double D anymore.
That's true.
I don't think that's true. Hey, I always bring this up, and I don't think I'm being taken seriously.
What?
We shouldn't cut loose Miss Double Decembers. Let's just add another one.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, I see. Like have 10 of them at one time.
Yes.
Joanna, how's it been going for you?
It's good. It's good. I've had such a great year, and I'm so glad I finally get to talk to you guys. I've been waiting for Bean's call all morning.
Oh, why would you say it like that? I'm not the bad guy here, Joanna. tell me what you've enjoyed about being Miss Double December for the past almost year now.
Oh, well, you know, did you know that when I did the contest, I didn't realize you won for the whole year?
I know we didn't know
what,
that.
What, did you just think it was just for December?
I thought it was just for the contest. I just thought you entered and you won. I didn't even realize you got, like, concert tickets and stuff. I just did it for fun.
Well, there is no IQ test to be Miss Double D. I think that's important to mention.
Oh, how dare you.
So you, of course, yeah, you won. You were crowned at the Slide Bar. And we'll give you the details on this year's pageant in a minute. But you were crowned at the Slide Bar, and then you got to go to the Acoustic Christmas shows that weekend, very soon thereafter. And then the new year began, and you've been able to do all sorts of stuff throughout the past year, right?
Yes, I went to April Foolishness, Weenie Roast. I did. I've been invited to the breakfast. I missed the last one, but I'll be there on Monday. And we did the Avon Breast Cancer Walk, and then just kind of doing whatever you guys are doing. I went to the races the other day and got drunk with beer mugs. It
sure.
was fun.
Hey, you're part of the family. When you're Miss Double D, man, you are Miss K-Rock, you know, for that matter. So you went to Breakfast with the Black Keys, you mentioned. You did the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We didn't do as many events this year as we usually do, so I don't think you even got to come to a singles party this year, right?
No, I didn't.
Well, we struggle.
We struggle.
Yeah. That sucks.
We are bad. We are bad.
You are aware of how the crown is transferred between Miss Double D's, right?
Yes, I am, and I haven't kissed a girl since middle school, so that's going to be – well, actually, since last year, but
– yeah, sure. I guess Christine would have transferred the crown in her saliva to you on stage last year at the Slide Bar, and then you're willing to do it for Miss Double D 2013 then.
Yes.
You make that sound so sexy, Bean.
He does, doesn't he?
In her saliva. It's like a chemistry test.
In her spit.
Joanna with her tiara and her sash, and you're doing something with the football season this year too that you do every week, right?
Yeah, I've been going to the Hustler Casino on Mondays and Thursdays and just watching football and hanging out with K-Rock, and it's been so fun. I'm glad I was invited to do that.
Let me tell you something about Joanna and why you ought to be following her on Twitter, by the way, is no one takes better or more hand bra photos than Joanna does.
She does. Her hands are a little too big.
I agree. I agree.
Everything's fine.
Miss Double December 2013, we are looking for you. If you'd like to sign up, you can go to krock.com right now. You must be 21 or over. You fill out the form online there and send us two photos of yourself, and then we will get back to you. And I guess, how does it work, Kevin? We generally narrow it down to the top 10.
Top 10, right.
And then those girls come in and we get a chance to interview them, learn a little bit more about them, find out what their special skills are.
We put up their pictures. We put a video online, and then the listeners vote.
So the online entries are open now as of this morning on krock.com until Friday, November 16th. So you got till a week from Friday at 10 o'clock at the end of our show, a week from Friday, you can get your entry in. And then we'll narrow it down from there, and then we get to meet the girls. And then the pageant this year is going to be, although it's Miss Double December, the pageant is going to be on Friday, November the 30th. At the Slide Bar, the Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton, which is our host location every year. They do a great job down there. We're going to be doing Toys for Tatas again this year. You can come down to the broadcast if you want to see the Miss Double December pageant in person. Just bring a new unwrapped toy. Come for the Double D's, stay for the party. That's what we have to say. What advice would you give potential Miss Double D's out there, Joanna, now that you've been through the process and you got selected? What should they be thinking about before they sit down to email us at krock.com?
I would definitely say you have to be in it to play, not to win. And I had the best time. And the other thing is, all month, or I guess all November, when you guys were doing the advertisements, I just knew you were talking to me. So I think that the girls listening should realize you're talking to them, and you want them to sign up and go for it.
All right,
also lots of support, too. I had, like, my whole family there. It was so fun.
Between now and a week from Friday, you have to enter. And if you know somebody who you know would be into this, you could also let them know and send them to krock.com.
Absolutely.
All the information is there. The form is there. You got to send in some seriously recent photos. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need a photo from 25 years ago if you're 60. Okay?
Right, we don't. But you would recommend the experience. There was no inappropriate touching or anything like that. It's something you can feel good recommending to other girls, right, Joanna?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it was even nice to being able to do the charity with Avon and everything like that. It was really nice. Inappropriate touching, I don't know. Bean was a little close sometimes.
Yeah, well, that does happen.
Dare you?
Well, I mean, we do have to check for boob size.
How dare you?
And the best way to do that is wait.
I have a white van. I have a white van because the mileage is good, for no other reason. Well, Joanne, I know we'll be talking to you several times between now and the end of your reign, but you have been a phenomenal Miss Double D. We've been so happy to have you in the family, and I do hope that we will stay in touch always. I mean that for reals.
Thank you. And Bean, I had a couple drinks yesterday. I went to the Walgreens, and they had a Taylor Swift advertisement, so I'm going to make you a Christmas ornament.
Oh, dear God.
See, I
don't
love
encourage
him. I love this girl so much.
Don't encourage him.
We'll see you soon, Miss Double D. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, see you Monday.
Bye. 106.7 K-Rock.
Clippers.
It's KRQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 20 minutes till 8.
The Lego era is over.
All right, Clipper Darrell, let's relax just a little bit. We're a week into the season already, and we have our own Clipper Darrell here at K-Rock, and his name is Dave the King of Mexico, who joins us in studio now.
He's clapping for himself.
Look, here's what I'm going to say to you, King. I'm excited about your team, too. It's fun to see the Clippers, and they got some, you know, they got a lot to be excited about, but it's like 4 games in. You can't be talking about how they're the only team in the world that matters and nothing's going to ever change and they're guaranteed going to win the NBA Finals. You got to dial it back, son.
To quote the great American poet Omar Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Is he a great American poet? I think so. Yes, listen, they're the best 2-1 team out there right now in the NBA.
So if the season ended today.
If the season ended today.
They'd be in the playoffs.
Right after
yes.
it started.
Exactly.
Yes.
But every, look.
We have credits on every time the two teams play.
Okay.
So I do owe.
Yeah, let's talk about Friday night for a little bit here.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
Let's talk about Friday night. What's the deal, Kevin? What's the deal? Let's hear it from you, the fans' perspective. We've heard what the experts say.
Give them time. Give them time.
You're not concerned that they started 0-3?
Not a bit. Not a bit. I mean, I'd rather they didn't. I'd rather they were 3-0. But no.
Hey, listen, you should be. Look, all the pro people are like, oh, they're going to get it together. They're going to get it together.
Yeah.
Sure, those four people are going to get it together, the four great starters. But then you got Meta World Peace, who was just lost. I don't know if you saw the game, Kevin, but Jamal Crawford was just dribbling around him and made him look silly. Like he was just doing loops.
Yeah,
and,
I don't take anything you say for granted, though.
Kevin, he did watch the game.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's Dave, and he hates. Here's the thing about Dave. He doesn't love the Clippers as much as he hates the Lakers.
I don't think that's true. I think he really does love the Clippers.
Yeah. Big heart. I'm doing the heart with my hands. Yes, I love the Clippers.
You became a Clipper fan.
Became a Clipper fan. Yes.
Because?
Of Matt Money Smith.
Because you hate the Lakers.
No, not at all.
Oh, you're
not
such a liar.
Listen, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I do hate the Lakers. And, you know, this season, when the Lakers lose, the Laker fans' tears are going to be like unicorn blood to me. It's just going to encourage me and make me just, oh, so happy. It's going to be so joyful. But
you can have all of the joy you want when you're 2-1 as a Clipper fan.
Yes.
It's 2-1.
But
it's
when
the
Clippers
first week.
Enjoy the first week.
You enjoy that.
I will.
Because when the Lakers start putting it together, it's just going to be ugly in the history of the Clippers franchise.
This is the best week ever. Statistically and emotionally.
That only says something about past Clippers
seasons. That's not that good. What kinds of bets do you guys have as Laker fan versus
Clippers
fan?
Well, first of all, we don't have bets. Because that would be illegal.
If it's money, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, okay. So it's credits, and it's every time they play. So I'm down a few credits.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's also a best record at the end of the season, I'm perfectly comfortable with. I have no problem with that bet.
And that's a bet that you win every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lakers always have a better. Now, what about this year, Dave? Will the Lakers have a better record than the Clippers at the end of the season? Let's get this on the record here.
Of course.
No. Here's why. Listen, it's going to take them, you know, a while to gel, as everyone's saying. So their record's not going to be that good. Listen, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be a force in the playoffs.
Okay.
But they're not going to have a better record than the Clippers.
You think the Clippers – hold on a sec. Let's make sure we save this tape, beer mug. Clippers will have a better record than the Lakers at the end of the regular season.
We bet that every year.
Has that ever happened?
No. Clippers have never been ahead of the Lakers. Why are you
so confident this year? Because of your 2-1 start?
No.
Could I suggest that he's this confident at the beginning of every single year, and then the poor little boy is just heartbroken?
For the simple reason that the Clippers have a deep
They have Lamar
bench.
Odom.
No, Lamar Odom, yeah.
They have fat Lamar.
Chloe will eat any of the Lakers.
Bring in fat Lamar.
No, the Clippers have the deepest bench in the NBA. The Lakers have the weakest bench in the NBA.
That is possible.
Yes.
And yet, the bench, while super necessary and you kind of need it to win a championship,
you don't need it for the best
regular season record. You just don't.
You do because Kobe can play, you know, 40 minutes a game, but throughout the whole season, He's old, dude.
You're not going to have him scoring 40 points every game like he did Friday night. That's for sure.
But no one else is going to score, you know.
No, you're right, because Dwight Howard hasn't been scoring.
Sure, but they've also been winning, too, right, when that happens?
Look.
I'm just saying.
Enjoy it.
Dave is just saying.
You enjoy your 2-1 start. Hey, congratulations. There's only 82 games.
I have a question for you, Dave.
Yes.
Clipper fan number one. Where's your Clipper song this year? By the way, don't we usually debut his Clipper song at the first week of the season?
If some jerk wouldn't take vacation, then this Clipper song would be bumping right now. But no, I got to take vacation.
It would be bumping, would it?
Yeah, I'd be banging. Trust me, this song is going to be hot.
I can't wait. I love your Clipper song.
I like it. I'm going to buy it.
Okay, so better record at the end of the season. What other bets do you guys have? Because I want to keep track
here. Well, I want to bring up some more bets.
Okay, but hold on. There's one other that we have, and that's who goes further in the playoffs.
All right.
By game, not by round.
And you always win that, too, by
always.
The way.
Always.
Yeah. Last year,
I didn't. Yes, I did.
Yeah, because the Lakers got out of the first round.
Yeah, so did the Clippers.
Both teams did, but the Lakers took more games to get knocked out.
Actually, you're right. By one game.
Yeah,
by one game.
And so
you're
I won that bet.
All right, what else you got, Dave? Because we're out of time.
Let's do more. Most dunks.
Most dunks?
Come on. Dwight Howard versus Blake Griffin?
No.
Okay, no.
That's
all right.
Dumb.
How about most missed free throws?
No.
Come on. Have you seen DeAndre Jordan shoot?
Have you seen Dwight Howard shoot?
All right,
Howard. You can do Dwight Howard versus the entire Clipper team.
All right. No. How about whose coach gets fired first? Come on.
I will tell you, not that I think they'll fire him.
Fire Mike Brown.
Not that I think they'll fire him, but man, were the boos loud on Friday night.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, last year towards the end of the season, hashtag fire VDN was
that's a good bet, Kevin.
Come on,
coach will be fired first. Why don't you take
that?
That's pretty cool. I like that one.
All right, I'll take that one.
Yeah,
I'll take that one.
All right, and finally, who has the most highlights on SportsCenter?
Who has the most highlights? So are you going to sit there and count every night?
I will. I watch SportsCenter every night.
So do I, but you don't count the highlights.
And you don't see the Lakers on the highlights.
Yeah.
Listen,
come on,
Dave.
Enjoy your
come on, the giddy kid.
Enjoy your 2-1. The Lakers are fine.
Clipper Nation's back.
Yeah.
Office here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Because it is a Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Wreck-It Ralph did just that at the box office. Over $49 million.
Wow.
That was loud.
That's a lot of money.
Made a new record for an opening weekend in November. Congratulations to everyone involved. Flight was second at the box office. $25 million made it number two. Argo was third. Man with the Iron Fists. And its debut made $8.2 million. That made it number four. Then Taken 2 was fifth. Cloud Atlas, Hotel Transylvania, Paranormal Activity, Here Comes the Boom, and Silent Night Revelation 3D, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sandy victims were treated to a hefty $23 million fundraising effort on behalf of the Red Cross by everyone who did that telethon/concert event Friday night on NBC. John Bon Jovi, of course, was there. Famous New Jersey son. Bruce Springsteen, another Jersey icon, was also on hand. Billy Joel, Steven Tyler, Mary J. Blige, Tina Fey, John Stewart, Whoopi Goldberg, Danny DeVito, Jimmy Fallon. They all showed up, and all the proceeds went to raise some money for the people who were still suffering from the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. So our thoughts are with those folks. He changed his mind. The mayor of New York City did regarding the New York City Marathon. He first said, oh, yeah, we're going to have it, and then it was canceled, which is appropriate because that marathon's a pain in the ass in the best of situations.
he couldn't win, by the way. There were going to be people disappointed with whatever decision he
But he did the right thing. F marathons is what he said.
Did you see all those people in New York who just ran it anyway?
Yeah.
No.
Some marathoners weren't taking no for an answer.
Come
so
on.
They ran a marathon anyway.
Yep.
A-holes.
There should have been snipers along the rooftops taking those mother effers out.
Now, do you hate all joggers or just marathoners because they close
Run
streets?
All you want. Run all you want. Just do not stand in the way of my toboggan when I'm going downhill BS marathons. Here's what some people did. They did laps around Central Park, to which I say, excellent idea.
Good work.
Keep it there to the park. Do your laps. Run as much as you effing want to. Run till your heart explodes.
Let the streets stay
but
open.
Don't then. Get in the way of my traffic patterns, you bastards. I've been saying this for years with the goddamn LA Marathon. Take them down to the Coliseum. Just set up some cones and let them run laps. It's the same thing. You're still running. Doesn't matter where you run. Just run.
The LA Marathon does circle Ralph's house four times.
It circles everyone's house. That's the problem. F marathons. Dax Shepard and his fiance for 3 years now, Kristen Bell, have said for many years that they're not going to get married until everybody can get married. They're going to wait until same-sex couples can
also
get married. However, they don't have that same feeling about having babies, apparently.
Oh.
Kristen Bell is with child. They released a statement today saying they're both excited. They're both ecstatic. Can't wait to become parents, a friend tells People magazine.
So good for them.
Congratulations to those two.
You don't watch that Parenthood, right, Ralph?
I don't.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It really is one of the best shows on TV.
Oh,
and
easy.
No, I'm serious.
Relax.
It's one of the best shows on TV.
Like
I don't know
it.
Why.
Okay,
I don't know
like
why.
It. I get it.
Half
like
the actors
it.
On that show haven't won Emmys. Easy I really don't. They're so great. Lisa, back me up.
It's awesome.
It's
yeah. incredible,
it's a great
show.
Right? And
this is Emily Brown.
I know. Aren't you surprised?
Frontier nurse.
And what a fine actor Dax Shepard is.
He's really good.
I had
yeah.
no idea he was
They're
so
all
good.
Wonderful. It's the greatest show in the history of the medium. We understand.
You
it's magical.
Don't watch
it's
it.
Every episode comes with a gold bar.
It's
it comes
great.
out of your television set. When you watch it, they actually drop Krugerrands off at your house.
That Peter Krause, man. Give him all the Emmys.
All,
he's incredible.
Everything's the best. It's all the best. Everything with Parenthood is the best. They should make a Parenthood network and show nothing but Parenthood over and over again.
It.
We
you
get
don't
it.
Have
okay.
Any idea
all right.
What you're talking about.
You know what I know? It's not the best show on television. I know that much.
Great.
It's not the best show
great.
On television.
It's certainly one of them.
I guarantee you it's not the best show on television.
Maybe it's not. It's,
well, then.
It's one of the best shows on television, and it has more great actors on it than any other show. How
it
about
does.
That?
It does. It's the best. Everything. It's all great. Those people, they cure AIDS with their urine. That's how great they
that,
all are.
That's
they're,
actually
they're
true.
Spectacular.
That does that.
That's science.
Nothing has ever been better than Parenthood. Everyone should watch it all the time and nothing else. Just watch that. Jenny McCarthy is talking again, which is never a good thing. This time it's about her midlife crisis. She turned 40 last week. And
oh, dear.
Yes, I know. It's the end of the world.
She looks pretty good for 40.
No, no. She says she isn't. She said all those years of sun tanning have done a number on her skin. She says she's suffering from saggy boobs, receding gums, back pain, wrinkles, poor eyesight, and muscle.
Why would she tell us any of
because
this?
Because she can't shut the F up.
Right, but that's not how we want our playmates.
But Bean, every word that comes out of her mouth from day one has been the opposite of hot.
That's right. Just shut up.
I don't want to hear about your
put them
receding
on the glass.
Gums.
God damn it.
I don't want to hear anything about your gums. I don't want to hear anything you have to say about anything ever. She says to battle her midlife crisis, she bought herself a sports car. She is dating young guys and twirling glow sticks at nightclubs.
Okay.
What? Did she really say that? Or?
Yeah, no. That's what she's doing.
Wow.
You know what she's not doing? Shutting the F up. She's not celebrating midlife crisis by realizing no one cares a good goddamn about anything you have to say, Jenny McCarthy.
A woman has to be so annoying to turn off guys when you're as hot as she is.
She
but she's able to
privilege.
Do it.
She works overtime. She has won the battle of, okay, you're not hot anymore because the stuff you spew just makes nails on a chalkboard. Tell me more about how immunizing your children's a bad idea.
Turn and Tyra.
Yeah, exactly. They know that the insurmountable amount of hot they've had to conquer in their life to get to annoying.
They've overcome it.
We forgive so much from hot women, and yet they have crossed that threshold to which we can never look at them the same again.
Yeah. Here's that quote from Jenny McCarthy you were asking for.
Yeah, there it is.
That's Jenny right there.
Start talking.
I can't hear any words.
Today's celebrity birthdays. One of the Jonas Brothers has a birthday today. I don't know which one. If you care, look it up. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead's 41. He's a talented guy. Guitar, keyboard.
Yeah.
Super talented.
Soundtrack maker.
Yeah. Sam Rockwell. He's in a movie right now called Seven Psychopaths. Super talented guy. Very funny. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. You ever see that where he plays Chuck Barris, the old
so
game
good.
Show producer and host?
That was great.
Moon. So good in Moon.
Yeah. He's in Cowboys and Aliens, the Charlie's Angels movies. 43 years old today. Judy Reyes from Scrubs is 45. Famke Jensen. From GoldenEye, the James Bond movie, and also the X-Men movies, 48 years old. Tatum O'Neill, Oscar winner Tatum O'Neill. She won when she was like, I don't know.
11.
11, yeah. One of the youngest Oscar winners in history. 49 years old today.
Holy cow.
What?
She won when 11.
You should donate the brain. leave the kidney, donate the brain.
He couldn't even finish the sentence.
God. Tilda Swinton is 52.
Oh, he's good. He's a good actor.
Brian
Tilda.
Adams is 53, and Bean is apoplectic because we haven't included Ryan Adams'
I'm
birthday
as well. I'm just surprised because every year we note that
no one gives an F, male Jenny McCarthy.
No, but I'm saying the fact that Brian Adams and Ryan Adams have the same birthday is weird. That's all.
All right, I'm exhausted. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Look, I'm the guy who loves politics.
I'm the guy who hates politics.
I can't wait for this thing to be over. Yeah. It doesn't seem like the campaign started like in 2001. Doesn't it seem like we've seen President Obama and Mitt Romney on our TV like every minute of every day for the last 5 years? It's crazy.
Now, here's where Bean's Asperger's comes in. I just have to tell you this because Bean has no clue what emotional cues, social cues.
He doesn't know what human beings are like.
Correct. Yeah. So we were talking off the air and Bean said, it seems weird to me that people don't talk about who they're going to vote for. And I was like, are you out of your mind? Because in the real world, if the person that you're talking to disagrees with who you're voting for, you might die. It's very possible you could die.
In some cases, you should.
It's possible.
Why? What? I don't understand. Maybe
there's really giant issues that people are really passionate about.
Right,
that
but people
will
can
affect their lives.
But people can disagree on the course of the nation's history and not be bad people.
Says logical being.
Yeah, I know, right?
Here's the thing.
I've never had an emotion guy in his life.
I don't care who anybody votes for.
People have emotions, though.
No,
other people.
Then why do you care if they tell you or not if you don't care who they vote for?
He doesn't care.
I don't care at all.
All right.
It doesn't bother me at all.
He doesn't understand why anybody else cares.
But I see people whispering to each other, what's going on? I don't want to let anybody know who I'm voting for. I'm like, why would you hide something like that? I don't understand that.
Because you want to still be friends with that person the next day.
There's a reason you go into a booth and pull a curtain to do it separately from everyone else. There's a reason for that. There's a reason they don't put you in a big room and just say, all right, show your hands. Who wants to vote for Obama? Who wants to vote for Romney? I mean, there is a long-standing history of doing it in private.
I get that.
It being a very private event.
I don't have any problem with that. But in a room of friends?
No.
Or coworkers?
No. You've never been in a room of friends in your life.
Family members?
He's just guessing based on TV.
Might as well say, being in a room full of unicorns?
Hey, he watched Friends.
I saw the last episode. It was good. No, but and maybe we'll take some calls on this because I'm sure that there are people who have had knockdown, drag-out fights over I'm going for Romney, I'm going for Obama, right?
I think that's who we're looking for is all hell broke loose once you started talking about politics. And this is one of the things that I despise about politics. It can't be if you're on the right, the left are good people, they mean well, but I don't believe that what they're saying is accurate.
Right.
And then the left doesn't think that about the right either. They're good people and at least they're trying and blah. There's no good on either side. You have to hate and they have
why
to be
do you
foolish.
Have to hate though?
I'm just telling you the way it is.
Look,
and I hate it.
If every single person in this room was voting differently from me, I wouldn't think any less of you guys for voting
that. You don't have
emotions.
You're not a human being. You can't relate to us here on planet Earth.
I have friends that we have an agreement. We just don't talk politics.
Because you'll fight if you do.
Yes.
Well, it would be really, really touchy.
And I'm not the guy who's walking around trying to get everybody to vote like
not
I vote
all.
Or trying to push, my opinions on
all.
The issues and stuff like that. I don't really care that much what other people are voting. You know what I mean? You just got to vote what you feel.
Right. So, you're in a unique situation because you could say something and no one could possibly like you less.
It doesn't matter.
You could say, you know what? I think I'm going to join the Nazi party. Everybody's like, yeah, well, I feel the same way about you as I did 5 minutes ago. But those of us who have friends and people who like us and stuff, it becomes tricky because you lose – it colors your perspective of that person once you know what they stand for in terms
really?
Of those bigger issues.
That's insane
but I
to
think,
me.
Why is that insane?
But I think too much. That's one of my biggest complaints. It's absurd the level.
To whatever degree, if I find out that you're voting for something that I think inherently there is some like moral and political problems with that standpoint, and I see you're going to back that person, then I have to think twice about what kind of person you are.
I'm voting for Flava Flav.
As well you should, by the way. But look,
cool. Okay.
Whatever your issue is, whether it's it's abortion or war or whatever it is that are serious issues that people have serious beliefs on, sometimes you're voting for a candidate and your vote for that candidate has nothing to do with that issue. You may be voting for this guy over here because of the way he's running the economy, for instance, and maybe that's your issue. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean
but
you're,
you can't separate. You can say, okay, you're the president of the economy, but you can't touch anything else.
But what you can do is say, I'm voting for this guy and doesn't mean I line up on every single issue in agreement with him.
I doubt most people
lineup on everything. I doubt there's.
Well, it's always a lesser of two evils, isn't it, when you come to vote?
Right.
Who do I hate less?
Yes.
Right, is what it is.
That's basically what it is.
We want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067, particularly if you've had these kinds of fights at work or in your family or with your friends. Let's go to Jay real quick. He's bringing up an excellent point that we haven't even talked about.
So she. She's doing it too.
Social media here. Jay, welcome to the Kevin DeMean Show.
Hey, I'm a female, not
you're a
male.
Oh, okay. I know. Right. I tried to correct that.
Go ahead.
It's okay. No, I'm an Obama supporter. I have no problem.
Communist! Oh, sorry. Is that not what we're doing
you
here?
Must be evil!
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And, you know, I posted on my Facebook a couple of comments or I like certain things that other people have posted, and I've been deleted by friends.
Yeah, that happens a lot on
now,
Facebook.
Really? Yeah. How close of friends?
These are people that I've known since I was probably, like, for the last 20, 30 years of my life.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, they don't want to be friends with you because you guys are voting differently.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And how do you handle that? What do you say to them?
I know, right?
In the real world,
what do you
say to them?
Shouldn't say anything because you've been deleted from Facebook. You can't contact them anymore.
Can you talk them off of Facebook?
I just ignore it. I'm like, what a fucking idiot.
Oh, wow. Hey, you're about to be deleted from this phone call with that kind of language, young lady.
Sorry.
All right,
Jay. How do I feel? I mean, because, you know, you write what you want to write. I mean, I haven't deleted anybody that's a Mitt Romney supporter.
Right, I hear you.
Thank you, Jay.
You should, though, because they deserve it.
Appreciate the call.
There was a guy on my Facebook page, a guy I've known since junior high school, who every day was writing a lengthy page of regurgitated diatribe from Fox News.
And that's, about, that's an abuse
about
of
the birth certificate and this and the communism and the socialism. And I had to, I finally had to delete him from my Facebook account.
But that's,
because I didn't feel like waking up and reading that every day and making that part of my life.
That's sort of an abusive.
Yeah. That wasn't that, that wasn't just you disagree with him. It was that he was wasting your time, basically, right?
But he was just – he was poking everybody's hornet's nest with that stick, trying to get – he was living on those angry interactions that he was creating with that stuff. And I just said, life's too short.
Really. Let's talk to Frankie real quick, and then we'll take a break and take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Frankie was in a restaurant, and politics came up. What happened? What happened, Frankie?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I was at a cafe with a friend. And, of course, the election came up. I was very pro-Obama, and he was washed with the whole Romney campaign.
Right.
And it got a little heated, and we ended up throwing our food down and having a full-on fist fight.
USA!
Good
USA! You, come on, why am I the only one chanting?
Because maybe some of us think that's not perhaps the best way to handle political discourse.
I think that's what the founding fathers had in mind,
Ralph. A fist fight in a restaurant.
I give Frankie a lot of credit for admitting he's voting for the African. I think that's fantastic.
Frankie, did you win?
Shut up. Well, that's a little too far.
He's kidding,
did you win?
Frankie.
Did you win, Frankie?
I did. Of course I won. Of course.
Good versus evil. Good always wins.
I'm not going to be happy until someone's getting divorced over who they're voting for. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. More calls next on the Kevin DeMean Show. Our friend, comedian, and actor Jason Mewes joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeMean Show. He's Jay of Jay and Silent Bob, don't you know?
That's right.
He's going to talk about the least urgent problem in America. That's coming up here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking about the most urgent problem in America, which is that half of the people you know hate you because of who you're voting for tomorrow. Whoever it is, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Wow, we got so many great calls in there. Let's start with Dave. Dave's in the Army, and he's on line 3. He'll get us going here on K-Rock. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
What's going on, dude?
All right, so this is what happened. So it's just a bunch of military dudes, right? We're sitting in the, you know, the unit hall, just, you know, shooting the breeze.
Yep.
And one idiot decided to bring up politics, you know, about Obama and the whole mosque and the 9/11 square.
Right.
And then it divided, and suddenly it just got into this giant debate that divided the unit in half.
Explain to Bean how that happens, because he doesn't logically see that doesn't make any sense to him.
Let me put it this way. I don't even know who my wife voted for, by the way. We both voted by mail. I don't even know who she voted for. If I found out she voted the opposite way of me, I wouldn't care at all.
Yeah, right, but so that means you have no political discussions at home?
We do talk about certain issues and stuff, but it doesn't make her a bad person if she comes to different conclusions than I do about what's next.
That's where you're wrong.
Yes.
Dave, I would think that you guys being, you know, brothers, basically, in the same unit in the military, I think that would trump whatever political disagreements you have.
You know, it did later on, but, like, at the time, though, we just, like, you know, feuded, and we actually, some of us didn't talk for, like, 2 weeks.
You're like, all right. I don't even know you.
That's what we need is our military, not talking.
So does this mean that in a firefight situation, you're only going to back up certain guys?
You know, if it was within that 2 weeks, it'd be like, you know what? I'm going to let that guy keep shooting at you for a little bit.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. Thank you, Dave.
And
appreciate
think
that.
About your choices a little more carefully.
Let's talk to Megan on line one. Megan's got a divide right in her own family. Hi, Megan. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Thanks. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
It's a bad idea to bring up politics, right?
Oh, yeah. So in my family, my parents, they're all, you know, hardcore Republicans, and I am a closet Democrat.
Okay.
So talking about global warming is something where my dad just kind of laughs in my face and, you know, says it's not happening, and then, you know, just doesn't talk to me because I want to vote for Obama.
He won't talk to you.
He leaves the room.
Your own dad.
My dad, yep. So wow. He's from Arkansas, so
what difference does that make?
Well, yeah, I got family in Oklahoma, let me tell you.
Oh, okay.
We do not talk politics.
No one's ever going to change anyone's mind. And by the way, that's the other thing. Thank you very much for the call, Megan. Going back to what Ralph was saying about the Facebook post, anyone who puts a political rant on Facebook and thinks they're going to change somebody's mind doesn't understand the internet. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work at all.
It doesn't work at all. Right. Let's try
Caitlin.
Let's try Caitlin.
That's pretty good.
Caitlin is online, too, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Hi. Well, I am hated by all because I'm a libertarian. So
all right.
A little difference then. And basically, you know, I try not to expect too much from people because they just think I'm crazy most of the time.
Well, you are crazy.
Thanks.
But go ahead.
But yeah, basically, so I was dating a guy, and I don't, you know, I'm proud of being libertarian, but I also don't try to, hold off immediately, like first date. I'm a libertarian.
Yeah, by the way, getting in people's faces about it is also part of the problem.
But maybe that's good first date screening. If you're really, really passionate about it, you should just find out before you even go have a cup of coffee.
That's a good point. It's a good point. And I mean, this guy, I think it was probably like the third or fourth date it came up, and it was, you know, natural. It wasn't just like I brought it up out of the blue.
Right.
And he seemed okay with it. You know, he let me know that he was fairly liberal and that he was going to try to, you know, do some research, and he, you know, he liked me, et cetera. So we tried. And basically, I'll skip all the BS.
Please.
It ended in a huge fight because, you know, he brought it up. Because I wouldn't even, you know, like you said, I don't talk about it. I don't feel the need to talk about it. And he brought it up, and he's like, I just don't understand this. And so we talked, and then it ended up basically with him calling me a chicken shit Republican, and that was the end for me.
All right.
Because that seems to be, you know, people think that we're just scared Republicans, which is not true.
But, okay. Thank you for the call and for swearing on the air. We appreciate it.
Right. There's a lot of that right now.
Let's just do one
people
more.
People are passionate.
Yeah. Pedro is on Live 5. We'll close with him because he lost his job. Pedro lost his job over
That's
political disagreement.
Legal, is it?
Pedro, what happened?
Okay, here's what happened. My boss is a hardcore Republican.
Right.
And I have a coworker that's a hardcore Democrat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can care less either way. I just want freedom, and I want whoever's going to support my constitution.
Right.
And my freedom rights. That's all I care about. So Gary Johnson all the way.
Okay.
Anyhow, so we're going at it, and then all of a sudden, like, it was telling me, like, no, but Obama's going to do this. No, but Ron is going to do this. I'm like, dude, are you guys listening? They agree on everything. They don't disagree on shit. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What
okay.
is
thank
with
you,
this?
Thank you for the call, Pedro. We're going to leave it right there.
This is the only topic where every caller has cursed.
Every single Look, caller has to swear at us.
Here's the point. If somebody's voting for Obama, they're probably a pretty good person. If somebody's voting for Romney, they're probably a pretty good person.
It's not the defining characteristic
easy.
Of a human who they're voting
that
for.
Is
it?
Take it easy, people.
Because you've known these people.
And
right.
And let's get this election over with.
Please
so that we can
let
go
it,
back to arguing
that.
Over Honey Boo Boo.
Can we please get a winner by 8:01 tomorrow night, please?
So 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us after the top of the hour. Also between 9 and 10, more chances for you to win tickets to go to our breakfast with Mumford and Sons. All right, ready for our October surprise? Ready for the phone call from a celebrity that's going to change who everybody's voting for?
I don't think this has anything to do with that.
Oh, no, really? No, that's what Jason Mewes was calling about.
He's calling about an important issue, but I don't believe it's on the ballot.
Oh, I see.
This is an issue that I had no idea existed.
I think a lot of people don't.
Didn't care really about it at all.
And now you're outraged.
And now I'm outraged because of Jason Mewes.
Hi, Jason Mewes. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hello.
Always great to talk to you. Ralph is in here, too.
Thank you. Yeah, Ralph A.
My brother in Smod.
like it.
Listen, we're talking about this PSA that you shot. You wrote it and directed it. And we were talking about after we watched that we had no idea that it was such an issue. Can you talk about the cause a little bit?
The collect call rates from prison are really expensive. But I think one of the problems I dealt with, I remember when my mom used to call, because this is a real situation that happened to me. So, if your phone company doesn't think you're going to pay, they cut you off. So let's say, if you sit on the phone for 10 minutes and your phone bill gets to be $200-$300, and you don't pay it, then they're going to get screwed out of money. So they'll cut you off after like 3 minutes.
But let me just butt in, if you don't mind, Jason, and say, how is it possible that a 10-minute phone call could cost $300?
Well, not necessarily a 10-minute phone call will cost exactly $300, but it's really expensive. Like, I mean, it adds up and adds up. And I'm saying if you call even once a week, time that month's phone bill comes in, and you talk 10 minutes at a time, it's going to add up.
So your issue is that prisoners in the state of California who want to call their friends and family members from inside are paying more than $1 a minute to use the phone.
Yes, I think it's like $3 just to accept the call.
That's nuts.
So then if it hangs up, let's say for whatever reason, like, you grab the phone and the phone falls or whatever and it hangs up and they call back, it's another $3.
$3.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's now, very, very expensive.
Why are the rates coming out of prison so predatory, Jay? Why are they so expensive?
I have no idea. I don't know why they do that.
Because they can?
Yeah.
I think they know that the people want to talk to their family members, so they're like, hey, we can...
There's no competition, right?
So this is essentially, this is gouging is what it is. This is, the water's off, so I'm going to charge you $10 for a gallon of water. That's basically what this is.
Well, yeah, and I feel like it is that they're saying, like, hey, you messed up. You did something wrong, so we're going to, penalize you, which... could possibly make sense, but it doesn't make sense to the family and friends and people who they need to stay in touch with.
Well, that's the part that actually started making sense to me. I thought, well, they're in prison, so what?
So screw them is what you said, I believe. Paying the price.
But then Jason was, told the story about being a kid and had to come up with a story of what his mom did and didn't have the money to talk to her in prison and had to make everything up. And all of a sudden it's personal when you're talking about kids and family and relationships.
So where are we with this, Jason? What's going on? Is there some sort of petition afoot to try to get the phone companies to stop this practice or what?
Yes. If you go to the takepart.com/middle of nowhere, it'll direct you. And they have the actual information and where you can, deal with all that stuff. They have all the stuff to go about.
The website is
trying to help it out.
Takepart.com.
Yes, right. Middle of nowhere.
And basically they're petitioning the FCC saying, hey, look, you're the guys who regulate rates. Go ahead and step in and not let them charge as much as they're charging.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Now, how did you get involved by doing your PSA that you directed? You can see there on the website. If you go there, you can see Jay's work. I mean, it's a really nice little piece of film. How did you get involved?
Thanks. They were looking for someone, and they contacted my agent because they knew a little bit. Me doing Jay and Silent Bob, get all my podcasts. They sort of, one of the guys there listened to it, and he sort of knew some of my background about that. I really, that my mom went to prison, and that I somewhat dealt with. Not necessarily. He didn't know all the information, but he knew that I had a family member in prison, and. Mm-hmm. And I had a meeting and told them sort of about it. So they thought I would be perfect for it.
It's kind of heartbreaking, the film that you made. It's about you as a kid trying to get information from your mom for a family project, and you have to speak to her from jail, and you get screwed over by those same-said phone rates, and you end up having to make up the story about your mom's history.
Exactly. And then that part was like, when I used to talk to my mom, she'd be so excited to hear from me that she'd never let me get in. A word in edgewise. She'd always be like, I miss you. And so that's really how it would be. So every time I talk to her, I'd only get to talk to her a few minutes.
And it would be super really rushed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
can you guys imagine how much the phone bill would be if Kevin Smith were in jail and he were calling out? Oh, my God. It'd be thousands of dollars a day with that dude talking, right? All right. We're out of time here, Jason. Let me give the website again. Takepart.com/middle of nowhere. And you can see Jason's PSA there. You can also see it up at KevinAndBean.com, by the way. We posted it there as well. And basically what you're trying to do is help urge the FCC to pass new laws so that the rates will not be predatory coming out of prison, because why make a bad situation worse?
And most of those people obviously are in economic distress in the first place, and a lot of rich prisoners out there, so you assume these are the people who would be hit the hardest, so it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. Jason, glad you brought this to our attention, man. Good work. Thanks for coming on today, too.
Muse for President.
Muse for President. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55. I wanted to mention, if you can't get enough of me, and why would you be able to, I'm on Jay Moore's podcast today.
What?
More stories.
Oh. Finally, that podcast gets some funny. That's what that show needed, was some comedy. Finally, they're bringing in the heavy guns.
I'm not funny, but he is.
That's it. Where can people get that?
More Stories app, or you can get it at iTunes.
That's very cool that Jay had you on.
Yeah, it was nice.
All right, 8:55. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Wreck-It Ralph was number one. But no one expected to make the numbers it did. $49 million made it the number one movie in America. Right behind that, not right behind it, but about halfway behind it, was Flight, and its debut made $25 million for the new Denzel Washington movie. Argo was third. The Man with the Iron Fists, in its debut, made $8.2 million. That was good enough to take the number four slot. Taken 2 was fifth. Cloud Atlas was sixth. Hotel Transylvania in 3D was seventh. Then Paranormal Activity, four. Here Comes the Boom. Silent Hill Revelation. That makes you top 10 at the box office this weekend. Leonardo DiCaprio is single again, ladies.
Woo-hoo.
Go get him. Woo-hoo. If you're a Victoria's Secret model. Yeah. Otherwise, don't bother.
He has a type, doesn't he?
He does. He likes the supermodels. He just broke up with Erin Heatherton. She was a Victoria's Secret hottie. But things didn't work out after a year of dating. Of course, the couple plans to remain friends, and the split was amicable. Everybody got exactly what they wanted from that relationship.
Hey, Kevin, who's Ralph talking about again?
How dare you.
Who's he talking about?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I missed it. Could I hear it again, please?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's it.
What?
Okay. That actor.
I don't have any.
What happened there?
What do you think? What always happens to me?
The Nola Ball?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
You're asking Strokey what happened?
You sound like you're underwater in slow motion.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Dennis Rodman's stint with sobriety didn't last nearly as long as we might have hoped.
Not surprised.
I think 8 days, I think, is how long it lasted. New York Post reports that he was spotted partying with champagne and strippers in a gentleman's club in Manhattan on Thursday night, even though in the wake of Hurricane Sally, or Sandy, rather.
Girls still need to
make
a buck.
Make a buck, yep. Right? They were seeing them dancing through water, you know, knee-deep.
They had
wearing boots instead of high heels. It's just...
They trotted Rodman out for some of the press for the new season of Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah,
the All-Stars.
And he said he's going to sober up to participate because he really wanted to work hard this year.
The guy is a zero. Yeah, he's got nothing. He looks. Does he have an IQ of like 70? Is he one of those guys?
He has some brain damage.
I think he does.
Yeah. Well, he got booted off All-Star Celebrity Apprentice, and his representative said he's trying not to drink, but he had to let loose a little bit after getting fired from All-Star Celebrity Apprentice. So he got some... lap dances.
That's what they tell you in AA, is sometimes you just have to let down your guard a bit.
Right. He sucked down a few shots of Jägermeister just to take the edge off the pain of being booted off of The Apprentice.
Right.
And then he threw about $500 in cash over one of the entertainers, making it rain. Everyone was very impressed by that. So, look. He's Dennis Rodman. What else has he got? What else is he going to do?
I agree.
Kevin, who else are they talking about putting on Celebrity Apprentice? Do you know?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, he'd be good.
I don't think he's going to be on there. Jocelyn James, remember that name? She was the X-rated actress who was mistress number 8 from the Tiger Woods scandal.
Oh, okay.
She was the porn star that Tiger was with, amongst the many women that he cheated on his wife with. She has fallen on hard times because apparently she is freelancing at the Bunny Ranch in Nevada this week. TMZ.com reports she'll be working at the brothel for the week of December 5th through the 12th if you want to make your travel plans. She's encouraging clients to book early because apparently reservations are filling up fast.
What happened?
It's not like every 20 minutes or something. Is it? Not one of those kind of deals.
She's like Southwest Airlines.
Every 5 minutes. 3 an hour.
All right, your 4.5 minutes are up. Get out. Go, 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 go. Pump, 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 pump.
This is kind of weird that we live in a world where you can see somebody on TV and go, I'd like to have sex with her. Oh, okay, now I can.
Well, there's a lot of guys who want to follow in Tiger's footsteps.
Sure.
Now they can follow in his
different steps.
Different steps.
Yeah, that's not
he had.
What happened?
And how much do you like Twitter? Well, we know Bean's answer to this. But I don't think you like it as much as Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls. She showed up at an event last week wearing a dress that displays Twitter posts in real time.
Oh, I've heard about this.
What? The dress contains 2,000 LED lights and another 3,000 Swarovski crystals. It was created by a company that specializes in fashion technology. The dress is then connected to the internet and posts Twitter posts in real time as they're happening on the dress.
Very few posts are worth that, are worth it.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
And if it's Nicole Scherzinger, you're not staring at her posts. You know what I'm, you know what I mean? You're staring at something else.
That's true.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
So I guess they did it just to show that it can't be done, but it made quite a splash at this event she was at last week. And Elizabeth Peña has been added to the cast of Modern Family. You may remember her from La Bamba or Rush Hour. She's playing Sofia Vergara's mother on the show. Sofia's character, of course, is pregnant with child, so her mom shows up to help her through the pregnancy, and apparently it's a very funny addition to the cast. The interesting part is Elizabeth is only 11 years older than Sofia Vergara.
Wow.
Which is kind of a slap to the face for Elizabeth Peña. You're going to play her mom.
Yeah.
But look, any work is good work, right?
Can I see the yard sale episode? So funny.
Oh, the best.
So unbelievably funny.
Cam's pants. And Mr. Grumpy, her ventriloquist doll.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That show is the best show on television. It is the every actor on that show should be every Emmy all the time them
okay,
give.
That's
best
true.
Best show ever,
you're
ever,
mocking,
ever
but
best
here's
show.
My point.
That is true.
Modern Family always wins comedy Emmys, and its actors are nominated and win awards.
Yes,
all
they
I'm
should.
Saying is
I know.
That Parenthood doesn't
and
get any nominations.
Yet, I'm still not claiming Modern Family is the greatest show on television.
Right.
I'm not.
But it's one of the best.
Because
it's,
I'm reasonable.
But it's one of the best.
You said Parenthood was the best show on television.
I said it's one of the best shows on television.
Let's
go to the tape.
Because
let's go to the tape. All I'm saying is it's insane that that cast is not nominated for Emmys because their acting is so great. That's
problem
my
is,
point.
No one's interested. That's the problem. Today's celebrity birthdays.
To take
birthdays,
nothing away from Modern Family, which is also excellent, by the way.
You're still talking. My best knowledge, you're still talking. Jonas Brothers. Ken Jonas.
Huh?
It's Monty Jonas, isn't it? I don't know who it is.
He's 25.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's who it is.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Nine!
Jesus. It's Dropapalooza all of a sudden. Can't get through a list of birthdays. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead is 41 years old today. Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite actors, 43 years old. Judy Reyes, she was very funny on Scrubs. Haven't seen her in a while. She's 45. Femke Jensen of the X-Men movies and GoldenEye, the Bond movie, 48 years old. Tatum O'Neill is 49 years old. Tilda Swinton is 52. Bryan Adams is 53. Ryan Adams is also celebrating his birthday today, but we don't know what day that year that is because we don't care. Robert Patrick from The X-Files is 54. Kris Jenner, the momager of the Kardashians, is 57. And Art Garfunkel of the legendary duo Simon and Garfunkel turned 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Congratulations to David Hansen from Covina. Just got tickets for our breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
Sweet.
And tickets for the sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl.
Very cool.
Win those again today at noon, and then 3, and then 6, and then 9. And then we'll, of course, have them for you tomorrow morning again in the 7 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. Our old friend Andrew Siciliano joins us Mondays on the Kevin and Bean Show from the NFL Network and, of course, the DirecTV Red Zone. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, guys.
I have to tell you, I had to fly yesterday, and I was very sad to leave my home and leave my TV while you were still talking. I don't like that. I don't like missing any of the Red Zone.
My apologies. There are some airlines, United / Continental, actually, I believe one of them, that actually has it on.
Sweet.
DirecTV in, not on every plane, but on some of their planes.
I got to start routing my flights through St. Louis or something, if that's what it takes to get the hookup on the plane. Another unbelievable weekend of NFL football. Let's start with the Chicago Bears game, which has to have been one of the strangest games I've ever seen. What was going on with that?
I just actually got off the phone with a friend who was on the sideline for that game, who said that it was like it was a high school game in that it was 20. I mean, it was 28-2 after one quarter. The other guys get paid too. The other guys have actually had some decent wins. Like, I mean, the Titans beat the Steelers on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago. That was a big win for them. They're not a bad football team. But there were so many Bears fans there, and the Bears had this in Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago as well. A, it's very expensive at Soldier Field. B, they travel well, and they have a huge fan base. They had so many fans there that when the Titans fans left at halftime because the game was over, it turned into Soldier Field to the point where Bears quarterback Jay Cutler actually had to do the "you guys shut up" like signal to the crowd.
He had to do the wave.
The Bears fans.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, the Bears look this week. Not that look ahead, but I'll do it already. The Sunday night game this week. It's the Bears at 7-1, the Texans at 7-1. It will be hyped all week. All due respect to the Falcons as your Super Bowl preview, NFC against AFC. It's Veterans Day. The game is at Soldier Field.
Yes.
There's an extra wrinkle for you as well. Funny how they schedule that. Yeah, I mean, get on it.
But it wasn't the weird thing about it is it wasn't just that it was a win. It wasn't just that it was a blowout. What did it end up being? 51-20. It was the way that Chicago was scoring. Didn't they set some sort of a record in the most different kinds of scoring they did in one game?
Okay, so they had – well, first of all, they gave up 2 points via safety.
Right.
And they did that with an illegal hands-to-the-face penalty in the end zone, which is a very odd and awkward way
yeah,
to give up 2 points.
Almost never happens.
They blocked the punt for a touchdown. They threw a touchdown. I believe they ran for a touchdown. They had a pick six for a touchdown.
they handed it off to a fan for a touchdown.
It's just it was a weirder game than you'd get if you were playing Madden at home. That's why I bring it up. It was just strange. All right, let's move on. Say a few words about the Indianapolis Colts and what a difference this year is versus last year, especially since they, you know, what they thought this year was going to be like, what they feared this year was going to be like.
All right, I'll say this. First of all, if you have not yet seen the video, the post-game locker room speech from Colts coach Chuck Pagano, who's fighting leukemia. He's lost his hair. He starts his second round of chemo this morning. He, for the first time since leaving the team back in September, met the team and addressed the team in the stadium, was there for a game yesterday. I tweeted it. It's on NFL.com. He gives a post-game speech that, I mean, you can watch it five times and still get choked up. So he saw his team win in person, and it is a ridiculous story. Here's the other thing. They were the worst team in football last year. They picked first. They picked Andrew Luck.
Right.
They are 6-3. If the playoffs were to start today, not only would they be in, they would be on the road against Peyton Manning in the first round.
Sweet.
You think they don't even miss Peyton Manning anymore, right?
Well, I mean, you always miss Peyton Manning, but Andrew Luck ain't that bad. And look, this week, they're actually on NFL Network, shameless plug. They play Thursday night in Jacksonville. The Jaguars are not exactly America's best football team at 1-7.
Right. 1-7
so,
doesn't.
The Colts could be looking at 7-3. And
right.
That's absurd.
Yeah, that's crazy. What a turnaround. Hey, there's so much parity in the NFL. That's what you want in your sports, though, right? You want parity. That's best. That's best for the
parity.
Sport.
I mean, that's a team that's good. And that's
right.
Just not parity. But that does show you, and I'm going to sound like a shill here, the ability in this league more than any other league, with a possible exception of baseball, for teams to turn it around this quickly. You do not see this in the NBA. There are like four or five NBA teams that you can sit here today and say legitimately have a shot of winning the championship.
Right.
You can't in the NFL. The last two Super Bowl winners have been 9-7 wild card teams.
How about that?
Teams that barely made it in, but then ran the table. Here you have the Colts, who were a laughing stock last year.
Right.
Now they're. I mean, if the playoffs were to start today, clearly, which they don't, they would be.
If the playoffs were to start today, my Arizona Cardinals would be eliminated from next year's playoffs.
Hey, you know how hard it is to start 4-0 and then go 0-5.
Apparently, not that hard at all because they were able to do it easily. All right, we're almost out of time with our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone channel and the NFL Total Access. You'll see him on your TV this afternoon at 4. I just want a couple of words about the Atlanta-Dallas game from you, Andrew. Are the Falcons as good as their record? Are the Cowboys as bad as theirs?
Yes and yes.
Okay,
awesome.
The Falcons are 8-0. They are the only undefeated team remaining in football. They deserve our respect, and they fought and then won a tough game against a decent team, a better than average team, certainly. I thought it was funny afterwards that Jerry Jones was briefly locked out of the locker room.
That's funny.
that's funny. But I got to get this. And the best thing I found out yesterday, and I'm embarrassed I did not know it because he is a fellow short person, Doug Martin, who's from Stockton, who ran through the Raiders for 251 yards yesterday.
Right.
He went to Boise State, found out his nickname afterwards and during the game. His nickname at Boise was Muscle Hamster.
Oh, that's strong.
He's a little dude, and he lived in the weight room. Best nickname of the NFL is
Muscle Hamster.
I'd like to go by that name from now on. If I could.
All right.
Definitely the youth of this weekend.
Andrew, we love you. It's great to talk to you. One word from you, Philadelphia or New Orleans, then we got to say goodbye.
New Orleans.
Two words, sorry. Sorry. You're against the rules.
You lose, sir. You get nothing. Good day, sir. So like 2 years ago when the campaigning started, we thought we'd have the stomach to survive to this election. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I still may not even make it. I may die today before the thing is finally settled.
Really?
Don't get too excited. No. Look, I'm just hoping it's over tomorrow. I'm just hoping that the political ads stop running on television.
Oh, I love
the
political ads.
I'm just hoping that my phone stops ringing with people who want to ask me questions about who and what I'm voting for. I don't even care who wins at this point. Just be done. And, of course, you know, as close as this election is, last minute, just they're blanketing the airwaves. You can't get away from these commercials. And it seems like they're really turning nasty here in the final few hours, doesn't it?
Well, they're getting desperate. Let's be honest. They're getting desperate. Tomorrow is election day. So we have some of the commercials for you. The first one is pro-Mitt Romney.
All right.
And this is one of the ones that's running.
This Tuesday, you'll be asked to vote in the most important election of your lifetime. Mitt Romney thinks it's important that you know that Barack Obama killed a dude. That's right. He picked him out, he stalked him, and then he sent his covert team of assassins to kill him like a dog. Right now, the name of the person he killed is escaping us, but all you need to know is he killed a dude. What is keeping him from killing you next? Vote for Mitt Romney. He promises he won't kill you.
Brought to you by people who don't want you to die.
See, now that to me is just unfair.
That's a line, right?
That's just putting a spin on an otherwise good thing.
It was
right?
Osama bin Laden, right?
I think that's the reference they're making. Yeah, but of course the other side is just as guilty. Tell me if you think this is fair. This is a pro-Obama spot.
When voting for president, it's important to ask yourself one question. Which candidate has magic underwear? The answer is Mitt Romney. What makes his underwear so magic? And more importantly, why isn't he sharing it with everyone? Because Mitt Romney knows when the unicorns take over the planet, what? Only those with magic underwear will be able to withstand their magical spells. Sure, he'll be protected, but what about you? You with no magic underwear. So vote for Barack Obama, because if he had magic underwear, he would give you some.
Brought to you by people who are afraid of unicorns.
See, that's just trying to make people afraid of Mitt being a Mormon. That's not fair either.
So then Mitt Romney comes back.
Before you step in the voting booth this Tuesday, it would serve you well to remind you there are a lot of unanswered questions about President Obama. Where was he really born? Is he a socialist? And most importantly, why are his ears so f***ing big? That's right. Have you ever seen a human with ears that big before? Me neither. And with ears that big, chances are he's listening in on your private conversations.
Uh-oh.
Shh. Vote for Mitt Romney. Because Obama's listening.
Brought to you by people who think Obama's ears are too big.
Just making fun of the man for having big ears. And, of course, then the president has to respond.
When casting your vote for president this Tuesday, there's one question you must ask yourself. What kind of name is Mitt? Mitt? Like catcher's mitt? Like the three little kittens who lost their mittens? And don't forget, Mitt rhymes with How can we hold our head up in the international community when we say, have you met President Mitt? If you think Barack is bad, just imagine Mitt. Vote for Barack Obama. His name may be f***ed up, but we're used to it.
Brought to you people who don't give a shit about Mitt.
I think we're in the home stretch now. There's just a couple more, but they're running.
Barack Obama wants you to think he's cool. He slow jams the news with Jimmy Fallon. He plays basketball. He called Vladimir Putin a jive turkey. But he's not cool at all. He's kidding you. You know who is cool? Mitt Romney. What if I told you that Mitt Romney used to date Missy Elliott, has a bunch of half-black kids, and his favorite TV show of all time? What's Happening? I don't know if any of that's true, but what if I told you that? Wouldn't you look at Mitt Romney in a different way? Sure you would. Vote for Mitt Romney. Hey, hey, hey.
Brought to you by people who love the old sitcom What's Happening.
That's just too far off the issues. And finally, this one from the Democrats.
From the first day of his presidency, Barack Obama was handed some of the most difficult challenges ever to face an incoming president. Two wars, a failing economy, an increasingly partisan electorate. Barack Obama has tried to make this country better in the face of all those adversities. This election, Barack Obama makes you only one promise. If elected, he will fire Beer Mug. And really, even in the face of all of America's problems, isn't that what we really want? Vote for Barack Obama. He hates Beer Mug just as much as you do.
Brought to you by people can't deal with Beer Mug. One more minute.
The most effective campaign commercial of all time.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
How great is that song, by the way?
I really like it.
It's great.
Thank you.
That song is great,
Bean.
It's the greatest show ever.
Hey, earlier today we made this announcement.
It's the greatest song ever.
I want to make sure we get the word out that we are looking for Miss Double December 2013. Do you think this could be you?
No.
What? You can go to probably not you,
not
literally,
you.
Ralph. Go to KROQ.com if you are 21 or over. Complete your submission and send in a couple of photos of yourself. The event is going to be on Friday, November the 30th at the Slide Bar in downtown Fullerton. We'll be crowning a new Miss Double December. And by the way, you get to go to Weenie Roast. You get to go to Acoustic Christmas. You get to go to April Foolishness.
It's a good deal.
All the Kevin and Bean breakfast events. I mean, it's really fun. You represent the Kevin and Bean Show for the calendar year 2013. Why not you? Again, go to KROQ.com for details.
We need somebody pleasing to the eye so that when we show up places, people don't go,
yeah,
so
that is
something to look at.
That's actually true. Yeah.
All right. Time
9:38.
It's beat.
We're new.
There's cameras in here.
I know. It's throwing me off.
Camera crew in here. Time for the showbiz beat.
Part of Bean's Kidneys Farewell Tour. Another part of the endless series of interviews and TV specials being done by Bean's Kidney.
Yeah. And then it goes on a mall tour.
This kidney should go in the Hall of Fame. There's a hall for famous kidneys. This has to be the most famous kidney, right?
We've talked
about
it.
He's done nothing but endless self-promotion for his kidney.
It's not for my kidney.
It's the endless kidney tour.
It's for the topic of organ donation. I'm trying to raise awareness.
How many shows have you done about your kidney now? What is this, 2021 shows about your kidney?
I've done a couple of interviews, and I'm very grateful for people like TMZ and Tom Likas and those who have had me on so I can get people to sign up to be organ donors.
First guy ever had a kidney over here, for God's sakes.
We're trying to make some good out of this situation.
Like Jessica Simpson with her baby pictures. All right, we got it. You have a kidney. They're taking it. For God's sakes.
Just trying to help.
We know.
Just trying to do my part.
That's what you're known for.
Just trying to do my part, buddy. Come on.
It's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office.
Only Ralph could make me feel bad about giving somebody a kidney.
No, it's a good thing you're doing.
Just so I should do it quietly.
Well, at least something good comes out of this.
Shut the F up.
Endless campaign of promotional events surrounding your kidney.
It's not about me, though.
That's
again,
all that matters.
It's about the cause. It's about organ donation.
Yes. It is. That's what it's all about, Pete. Wreck-It Ralph, number one at the box office this week, and $49 million made it number one. Flight, the new Denzel Washington movie, came in at number two with $25 million. Argo was third. The Man with the Iron Fists, in its debut, did $8.2 million, made it number four. Taken was fifth at the box office, then Cloud Atlas, Hotel Transylvania, Paranormal Activity 4, Here Comes the Boom, and Silent Hill Revelation 3D, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to two very seemingly nice people, Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell. I don't know them personally. They could be Satanists for all I know, but they seem on the outside to be a very loving couple. They're going to have a baby, according to their representative. They're both very excited, both very ecstatic. Can't wait to become parents, a friend tells People magazine. So that's good news for those guys. They started dating in 2007, so they've been together for a long time. Been engaged for nearly 3 years. Famously, they have said they will not marry until people of the same sex also have the legal right to marry in their home state of California. So,
convenient.
They're just going to
convenient out.
Well, you know, if you want to get out with somebody, you don't start having babies with them because then you're tied forever.
Yeah, that's true.
What the hell are you thinking, Dax Shepard? But no, they seem nice, and that's good news.
Is Dax on TV? Are you aware? Does he have a?
I think he's on
a show.
Punk'd. He was on Punk'd.
Oh, he's that guy. He's not doing anything else right now. That's superb.
He did that movie Hit and Run. That was in theaters.
That's not what I'm thinking of. I thought there was something else that maybe you haven't been watching, but you've been bad-mouthing.
I mean, he may have been recently on an episode of The View.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was
maybe
thinking
of. Maybe that's what
of.
You're thinking of. I know you're a big View fan. Bam Margera and his wife, Missy Rothstein, are officially divorced. Everyone knows that because she tweeted on Friday, "Official divorced, happy, finally free. Who wants to come to my divorce party? Ha, 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 ha." All right, you don't take glee in it, lady, just because you're divorced, all right? It didn't work out. Move on. You have to rub the guy's face in it. I'm throwing parties.
I'm sure
stuff.
He's having a party.
He is a party.
Yeah.
He's a party.
Never
in
not
a box
having.
Right there. Sandy victims
were the beneficiaries of this event on Friday. NBC put together a pretty amazing lineup for as quickly as they threw the thing together. It was a combination telethon concert event. And John Bon Jovi appeared, along with Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Steven Tyler, Mary J. Blige, Tina Fey, Jon Stewart, Jimmy Fallon, Danny DeVito. They were all there to help benefit money being raised by the Red Cross for the victims of Superstorm Sandy. $23 million was raised.
Doesn't seem like a lot to me.
An hour of network television to a nation of 300 million people? Doesn't seem like that much.
I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. I was talking about this weekend at Hollywood Babylon about the event, and some people didn't even know it was on the air because it was kind of thrown together pretty quickly. Not a lot of time for promotion.
Right.
But look, 23 mil.
Hey, it helps.
Nothing to sneeze at.
It helps, yeah.
And Sally Field plays Abraham Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd, in the upcoming Spielberg film Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
She made the ultimate sacrifice for an actress of her age. She's 65 years old. In order to play Mary Todd, she put on 25 pounds.
She did?
She did, Lisa. I knew this would get your attention.
Yeah.
25 pounds. Why? Because they said we had her dress size. And so I wanted to fit her dress size, so I gained 25 pounds, so I would be the same
but
weight as Mary
Todd. None
of
us know her dress size.
Look, I was going to go to that film, and Civil War be damned. If she didn't look the same dress size as Mary Todd, I was going to get my money back. I was going to walk out of that theater. Unacceptable. One thing I will not tolerate is an inaccurate waist size on a woman in a historical epic. For God's sake.
She just wants to gain 25 pounds.
Sally.
It was a really good couple of months, I'm sure.
I hope she doesn't have to play a thin person anytime in her future, because that ain't coming up at 65. You put on 25 pounds.
Imagine how disappointed Kevin is going to be if he goes to see that movie and realizes there's no vampires in it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that movie. I saw it.
You wouldn't go see Lincoln? I think it looks amazing
to
me.
Look at him.
Depends on what else is
out. It won't be loud enough.
Kevin, there's a lot of bangs. There's a lot of cannons
on what
and
else
gunshots
is out.
And everything.
It depends on what else is out.
Just go see
Why does Kevin hate
Lincoln?
But I think mostly it's about him trying to push legislation through Congress. I think it's mostly a pretty talky movie.
Now we'll never get him in there.
He's not a vampire hunter at all in this version of the movie.
Yeah, I like the last one.
The last one was real.
Yeah.
This one's just made up.
It's fiction.
Kevin's still pro-slavery. That's the problem.
How dare
brings
you?
Brings back bad memories for Kevin. And this will make you feel better, Kevin. Disney's talking about rebooting the Boy Meets World sitcom.
All right.
Remember Boy Meets World with Ben Savage and Danielle Fischel?
Just barely.
Well, they're going to make a new one called Girl Meets World.
Mm.
But here's the hook. Ben Savage and Danielle Fischel perhaps coming back as the former teenage heartthrobs who are now a married couple. And it's their daughter who has to meet the world. Huh? Are you with me? Clever?
Oh. Did that show have a robot?
Boy Meets World.
What?
No, didn't have a robot.
I thought it had a robot.
What the hell is wrong with you?
What was that little girl robot?
There was. No, was that was about the alien chick out of this world. That wouldn't have any robots either.
I thought Boy Meets World had a robot.
There were no freaking robots.
I didn't see it.
It was about a kid going to school.
I didn't know.
If you didn't see it, don't ask ridiculous questions like, did it have a robot?
Hey, that Lincoln movie Spielberg's doing, has it got a robot in it? I'd like to see Lincoln meet up with a robot.
I thought it had a robot.
But you've never seen it.
I know.
What would make you think it has a robot? You've never seen it.
Because you hear things about it. Look, I haven't seen the
You've never heard. Oh, you know what I love in Boy Meets World? That robot. That's my favorite part of that show. You've never heard that.
What show am I thinking of?
How do we know?
Oh, did Small Wonder have a robot?
Small Wonder.
Yes.
Those are the same show to me. I don't know the difference between those two. Who's in Small Wonder?
A robot.
And who else? Who are the people in that show?
There were a bunch of actors you don't know.
Hey, Mr. Okay. Sidetrack, take it easy. He's got a report to do over there.
Okay, sorry.
Holy cow.
Just get out of here and let the kidney show get back to where it was.
Now back to the kidney show.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Art Garfunkel is 71 years old.
He's a robot.
He's
a robot.
Robot.
Yeah, that's
true. Kris Jenner, the momager of the Kardashians, is 57 years old today. Robert Patrick, he was one of the Terminators, also from The X-Files, 54 years old. Tilda Swinton is 52. Tatum O'Neill is 49. Famke Janssen celebrates her 48th birthday. She's, of course, Jean Grey from the X-Men movies and GoldenEye, the Bond movie. Judy Reyes from Scrubs is 45 years old today. Sam Rockwell, very talented actor, is 43. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead turns 41 years old today. We now return to the Kidney Show.
To the Bean Show.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Shane Satterfield.
He or she is good.
I love him or her. GameTrailers.com talking about a bunch of new video games that are coming out.
Halo.
Halo, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty's coming out soon. We also have You Woke Up and Have No Idea How You Got There.
because, you know, that's Beer Mug's entire life.
I'm in the bush. I don't know how I got in the bush.
So that's tomorrow. And we have more tickets for you for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin & Bean.